Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! So I'm here this evening. So today, if you were listening last night, today's trip to the surgeon couldn't have been all that bad, now could it? And it wasn't. It wasn't. Hey, Bob, there's nothing wrong. It was, you know, there was a fly in the CT scanner or anything, but it wasn't the, you know, oh Jesus, I got to go learn how to write a will kind of thing either. So we're ahead of the curve as far as I'm concerned. I've still got some testing that has to be done, and there may very well be some surgery in my future, but it's not right yet. We'll know more later, and I'll tell you later, because you know what? I'm a walking soap opera. That's what I am, a walking soap opera. I mean, I've got this thing that only happens to two people in 1,000 on the planet. I mean, granted, there's still a lot of people, but you know, kind of weird. But I met with the surgeon today, and he's at least performed the surgery in the past, and he was, oh, okay, yeah, I know about that. Yeah, sure, I've done that 3 or 4 times. That's good. That beats the hell out of, well, you know, I was thinking maybe I'd get me a 12-pack of Milwaukee's Best the night before the surgery and curl up with Grey's Anatomy and see if I couldn't figure out how to keep from killing you there, Bob. I mean, come on, I'm working on my optimism here. So, you know, things are better. It was better news than I expected, and I liked the guy, and he seemed incredibly competent and very, very intelligent. And he's a Mountaineer fan. So, you know what? That's absolutely unreasonable. It is totally irrational for that to matter to me, but it does. Because, you know, at least he'll know that got one of the faithful on the table there. Don't screw him up. We need all the fans we can get. It's not like, it's not like we're one of the great big schools and we just got fans to give. No, we are happy few, the Mountaineer fans. So, I mean, look, I'm trying. You got to work with me. So anyway, it wasn't a terrible day and didn't wind up sitting in the office. I mean, forever and ever and ever and ever. And so I'm here, and I'm very, very happy about it. Because there's stuff, oh, God, there's stuff out there. And let's see. Dear leader is rubbing elbows in China with that gang that Flush Flemball, in the midst of his OxyContin-induced insanity, used to refer to as the Chi-Coms. The Red Chinese, my friends, Bill Clinton is giving America away to the Red Chinese. Now George Bush is over there giving America away to the Red Chinese, and it's kind of, you know, Hear the crickets? Yeah, double standards. I mean, but, you know, we're talking about pig lickings here, so consistency and honesty is not something that we would necessarily talk about in, you know, connection with, you know, them. But anyway, this is the best part of it. So George goes over to China, right? And he dresses the Chinese down. He says that America stands in firm opposition to the Chinese repressing their own people. And he said that while he was in Thailand. You know, I've heard that the sex trade is profound in Thailand, and frankly, if you were married to Laura, you'd want to stop in Thailand on the way, too. I mean, after a while, that sort of Smilex jokery kind of thing that she's got going for her, yeah. I don't know, maybe Mel Gibson's with him. Mel Gibson's famous for enjoying the sex workers of Thailand. They say he has to have them. He's got contracts. They're on every movie set of his. Because after all, he said, yeah, him being religiously insane, Mel Gibson has said that his wife being an Episcopal is going to hell. Yeah. But I don't know. I don't know that Mel Gibson's with George Bush, but makes sense to me, though. But he said, I'm going to have to take a deep breath with this, because the idea of this coming out of George Bush's mouth is just too much to come. Woo! Yeah, makes me go, woo!
We speak out for a free press, freedom of assembly, and labor rights, not to antagonize China's leaders, but because trusting its people with greater freedom is the only way for China to develop its full potential. And we press for openness and justice, not to impose our beliefs, but to allow the Chinese people to express theirs.
Irony? Irony is dead. George Bush talking about labor rights in China? George Bush's party took the Employee Free Choice Act out behind the barn and stabbed it to death with long, steely knives. You know, this was a piece of legislation. We've talked about it a lot on the program. It's a piece of legislation that would allow American workers to sign a little card and be in a union if they want to. Sign the card, join the union. Republicans hate that. I believe it was early in this week, or perhaps late last week, that the Wally World, that extension of corporate China here on American soil, Wally World, Wally World started bringing its managers in to explain to them that they needed to explain to their workers that if they voted for that demoncrat Barack Obama, you know, that Muslim, that they'd probably lose their jobs. Because after all, the unions would be very, very, very bad for Wally World and for America. Labor rights are bad for America. No, really. So, that's why it kind of hangs in my craw a little bit. We speak out for a free press. Free press? Aw, kiss my butt, George. We don't even have a free press in the United States. We have a for-profit press. We have a corporate press. We can't get them to do 700 words on impeachment because they're all wrapped up in Britney Spears and Lindsay Lohan and Paris Hilton and so forth. So badly so that John McCain even went there. Oh, mercy. Holy smoke, what just happened to my Internet Explorer? I just lost every blessed story that I had. It just shut down all by itself. Charming, really. So, we want you to have a free press. And when you do, when you've got a free press, would you tell us what it looks like? Because we don't have one. Instead, we've got Charlie the Brown Nose Gibson.
and Cootsie Couric and Brian Hairdo Williams. Yeah, that's what we've got. We got the New York Times. You know, of course, they were instrumental in ginning up the war that I wanted to start with the people of Iraq. Yeah, we don't have a free press. So China, if you get, maybe you can make a few in your factories and sell us some free presses when you get one there. Yeah, okay. Meanwhile, Dear Leader's Daddy comes out. Stunning, stunning, stunning levels of cluelessness. I mean, I think it's time for old Poppy to ride off to the home, because Poppy's lost it. Poppy's out there talking in front of the microphones today, saying that you people are being too hard on China. You're being too hard on China. It wouldn't be wise, it wouldn't be prudent to talk to them that way. When, in fact, Poppy's adult life has been defined by his willingness to sell us out to those people that Flush Flimball, back when there was a Democrat involved, called the Chi-Coms. Yep, communist Chinese, when Democrat in White House, bad, 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 doing business with the communist Chinese, selling America out to the communist Chinese. If there's a pig licking in the White House, good, 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 good. But look, it's just behavior according to type, okay? There's nothing different in this where the Bushes are concerned. I mean, this is a family after all. Documented fact. No getting around it. This is a family that was willing to sacrifice American soldiers and sailors and Air Corps members, Marines. They were willing to sacrifice anything to make a buck when the Bush family was busy being Hitler's banker. You don't believe me? Yeah, because I do know we've got some wingers who listen. I've been corresponding with one, as a matter of fact. I'll share something with you later on that he sent along to me. I won't share the private correspondence with you, but what he sent along, yeah, I'll share it with you. But, yeah, go look it up. Brown Brothers Harriman. Look up Prescott Bush. Google Trading with the Enemy Act, and you will find that Brown Brothers Harriman and Prescott Bush got stone-cold busted in 1943 under the Trading with the Enemies Act. Trading with the Enemy Act, I think it was, actually, for acting as bankers to a man named Fritz Thyssen, T-H-Y-S-S-E-N, Fritz Thyssen, who for many years was known as Hitler's angel, because he provided the essential financial backing for Hitler's rise to power and his rearmament of the Third Reich. So when Poppy comes out and he says that, you know, we're being unfair to China because China should have the right to do anything to Tibet that they want to, I'm not surprised. Are you surprised? Why would you be surprised? So there you have it. Let's try the phones real quick. Hi, welcome to the program. Hey, Gene, what's up?
You mind if I rant for, say 20, 25 seconds or so?
Crank it up and rant for a whole minute if you want to, my brother.
Have you heard about Pakistan today?
You mean the fact that they're getting ready to have an impeachment over there?
Yeah, an impeachment, bro.
Yeah, that was a furniture kicker.
Oh, yeah. I was like, gee, I mean, none of this impeachment is off the table stuff. And so didn't we kind of imply that we went over to the Middle East to teach them about democracy?
I guess it took. See, it worked.
Well, yeah, it worked so well. I think we could use a refresher course here. I saw this and I'm posting it up at this site because I just
See what it does? Yeah, you're having it happen to you what happens to me.
Yeah, it's like, it's Pakistan. It's, okay, you expect a poorer country to have a strongman dictator, and that's just sort of the way it is, but it's apparently not. You know, apparently it's more like the, well, we used to be rich, but we're still a fairly big country.
But you know what drives me crazy out of it, Gene, is the fact that Pervez Musharraf is a thug, okay?
Oh, yeah.
This is a guy who took power by virtue of a military coup.
Mm-hmm.
And that government still has the nerve to say, you know, I don't care if you are a dictator. I don't care if you're a brutal dictator who kills your own people. We're going to impeach you. They're not talking about lopping his head off at the shoulders or anything. They're just saying, you know, we're going to have a nice little governmental process here, and we're going to remove your ass from office. Goodbye now.
Yeah, and notice that the White House hasn't really commented on this. They haven't, you know, they've just kind of kept a low profile. You know, I'm tempted to send this story to Nancy Pelosi and say, you know what, maybe you should read this and think about, you know, kind of use it as a training manual.
No, the word impeachment makes Nancy Pelosi wet herself, okay?
Oh.
Harry Reid hears the word impeachment and he has to go get new sacred underwear.
It's too late to do it all over here, but it's like, boy, it's nice to see somebody set an example. Oh, pardon me. I get rant mode off. I had to call in with that. Pardon me. Well, I'm just going to let my hair grow now and get going on this. And I'll let you get back.
Yeah, you kind of sit back behind the keyboard, Gene, and you say, letting go now, letting go now. I'm going to my happy place. I'm letting go, letting everything. Right. Because otherwise, you'll take a claw hammer and just beat the snot out of a perfectly innocent piece of furniture.
And I really can't afford a new computer, so.
Right.
Anyway.
Oh, no, don't beat the computer. Beat the furniture. I mean, I can at least maintain that much decorum and control somewhere along the way.
Well, that's good. Okay, well, I'm glad to know you're feeling reasonably well, and good to have you back.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, and I'll keep folks posted as things develop. I live in mortal terror of physicians, but I felt a little bit better about what happened today.
Good.
Yeah, I hate to sound xenophobic or anything, but being able to talk to the guy and have him speak a language that I understood back at me really worked for me.
Uh-huh. Well, and it doesn't hurt that he's a Mountaineer fan either. Well, love that. I guess I'm a kid.
All right, you take care, Gene.
All right,
bye now. That's our news ninja, Gene. And I did see the impeachment in Pakistan story today. And all kinds of nasty words that I try not to say in front of the children just came bubbling out of my mouth. I sounded like Yosemite Sam on a bender. Blur, flex, stacking, wrestle, black person, dick. Yep, they're going to have an impeachment in Pakistan. But it's off the table here. Thanks, Nancy. Thanks a lot. You're such a leader. On the other hand, I did get the little blast email note from Dennis Kucinich today saying that, in fact, they had done what they set out to do. He had done what he set out to do. Delivered 100,000 verified signatures of 100,000 Americans demanding that Nancy Pelosi honor her oath that she took when she became a member of the House of Representatives. You know, we tend to give the House maybe a little less deference than we give the Senate, because, you know, the House, you got to run for election every 2 years, and the Senate, it's 6. There's a whole lot more members of the House. There's, you know, just 100 members of the Senate. But the framers of the Constitution entrusted to the membership of the House of Representatives not only the power, but the duty to keep the executive in check with one single tool, and that tool is impeachment. That tool is impeachment. George Bush is a tool.
You get the idea. But they can do it in Pakistan, but we can't do it here. Because Nancy's afraid. Because Nancy lives in terror. Because George Bush, I don't know. Maybe he's got pictures of her in the, like, St. Pauli girl costume or something. And Nancy, don't make me show those dirty pictures of you. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. Other stuff out there? Hard to ignore this one. Very hard to ignore this one. It gets worse and worse and worse. What are we doing? And this isn't the general philosophical question, what are we doing in Iraq? This is a specific question, what are we doing in Iraq? How are we doing it? Who are we doing it to? According to CNN, the U.S. military is segregating violent Iraqi prisoners in wooden crates that in some cases are not much bigger than the prisoners. Wooden crates. Now, the military didn't just volunteer this information. They're not very good at volunteering much of anything. No. A Freedom of Information Act suit was filed in 2005. The photographs came out this week. Three grainy black and white photos, because the United States military can't afford a better camera than that. Three grainy black and white photos of what the Army calls segregation boxes. Segregation boxes that they use in Iraq. They are made of wood and mesh. See, I'm suspicious of the word mesh, because if it's mesh, you could punch through it, right? So what it means is it's a wooden coffin with a little mesh over the empty spaces, you know, just to let the air in. These are coffins. The boxes are about 3 feet by 3 feet by 6 feet tall. The military, of course, did not release a picture of that box. And they don't just put the prisoner in the box and just leave him laying somewhere. No, no, no. No, no. The prisoner is put in the box. And the prisoner stands in the box. 3 feet by 3 feet by 6 feet. Stands in the box for as much as 12 hours at a time. You can't sit. You can't change position. It is, in a word, torture. However, the Army says that it's humane. It's humane torture. I hate being as good at this stuff as I am sometimes, but it's time to add another movie to the list of things that the Bush administration watched and did not understand were not training films, namely...
Them clothes got laundry numbers on them. You remember your number and always wear the ones that has your number. Any man forgets his number, spends the night in the box. These here spoons you keep with you. Any man loses his spoon, spends the night in the box. There's no playing grab-ass or fighting in the building. You got a grudge against another man, you fight him Saturday afternoon. Any man playing grab-ass or fighting in the building spends the night in the box. First bell is at 5 minutes of 8, when you will get in your box. Last bell is at 8. Any man knocked in his bunk at 8 spends the night in the box. There's no smoking in the prone position in bed. To smoke, you must have both legs over the side of your bunk. Any man caught smoking in the prone position in bed spends the night in the box. You get 2 sheets every Saturday. You put the clean sheet in the top sheet in the bottom sheet you turn in the laundry board. Any man turns in the wrong sheet spends the night in the box.
Which?
No one will sit in the bunks with dirty pants on. Any man with dirty pants on sitting on a bunk spends the night in the box. Any man don't bring back his empty pop bottle spends the night in the box. Any man loud talking spends the night in the box. I'm responsible for order in here. Any man don't keep order spends the night in the box.
Yeah. Now, these swine have ruined Cool Hand Luke for me, one of my favorite films. First, they ruined Dr. Strangelove. Now they've gone after Cool Hand Luke. And if you've ever seen that monumental picture, that brilliant, brilliant, brilliant film with Paul Newman, you know that he gets sent to the box night after night after night after night. Actually, spending a night in the box is probably less time than we make Iraqis spend in the box. And it just about destroys Luke's mind. And of course, there's no doubt when you watch something like Cool Hand Luke that what you are watching is absolute, unmitigated barbarity. But the United States military says that it's humane. Damn! Everybody, go rent Netflix, whatever, Cool Hand Luke, and see how humane A Night in the Box is. I guarantee you that the weather was better where Luke was in that film than it is where a human being is standing in a torture box somewhere in Iraq. Sensory deprivation extended over long periods of time. All the Army says that we check them every 15 minutes. Sure you do. You doing all right in there, Haji? Now just thump the side if you can't talk. Hee-wee! Because 3x3x6, there's not exactly a lot of room for a slop jar now, is there? How humane is that? Forcing someone to befoul themselves. But, you know, we've got a history of that. If you recall, the FBI was appalled when they went and looked at some so-called coercive interrogation techniques. Appalled to find that prisoners were left naked in concrete cells. One man was found with clumps of his own hair in his hands from tearing his hair out all night long. He was wallowing in his own urine and feces. I guess this cuts down on, you don't want to waste a whole cell on something like that. So just let them soil themselves and urinate on themselves and try to tear their hair out on a nice little 3x3x6 box and call it keeping order.
Any man don't keep order spends a night in the box.
That's right. That's right, Carl.
Any man don't keep order spends a night in the box.
Gotta keep order. Gotta keep order. Meanwhile, they sentenced... no pre-sentence investigation report, no delay or anything. The kangaroo court down in Gitmo sentenced Salim Hamdan today, you know, Osama bin Laden's cabby, sentenced him to 5.5 years. But I'm sort of at a loss as to why they bothered. Salim Hamdan will likely never see the light of day again. Salim Hamdan will not breathe a free breath again. Do I think that Salim Hamdan is just a regular Joe and a real good guy? No, I don't. That's the problem. I don't know. You don't know. We don't know. We have no way of knowing because Salim Hamdan was not subjected to any sort of rational judicial process as established in the United States of America. Salim Hamdan was subjected to phony show trial. A Soviet show trial. Not a dime's worth of difference, except for the fact that as long as we're doing it, then it's not a show trial and it's not a kangaroo court. Well, we wonder, you know, or so say the 23%ers. Hard to swallow. Really, really hard to swallow. Putting prisoners in wooden boxes. How can you guarantee that it's humane? And if it is humane, why not release a photograph of one of the 3x3x6 boxes? You know, I'm what, 6 feet two? Yeah. 4 hours in 3x3x6 would be enough to begin to rot my mind. Just from being hunched over like that in a position where you couldn't fully stand up. Can't turn around. Can't sit. Can't anything. Yep, from the folks who brought you interrogation by interrogation based upon watching 24, stupid TV. We now have punishment from the sadists in Cool Hand Luke. Charming, ain't it? Just charming.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because, well, we just don't have that many Arabic speakers over there, so if the guy, you all right in there, Haji? And if he screams, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, I'm dying, please give me relief, I'm dying, please. Hell, we don't know. He didn't say he wasn't all right. Whew. Mercy. Just amazing.
You're going to get used to wearing them chains after a while, but you never stop listening to them clinking.
Yeah, really. And you never forget the time you spend in the box. You never forget it.
Clothes got laundry numbers on them. You remember your number and always wear the ones that has your number. Any man forgets his number, spends the night in the box. These here spoons you keep with you. Any man loses his spoon, spends the night in the box. There's no playing grab ass or fighting in the building. You got a grudge against another man, you fight him Saturday afternoon. Any man playing grab ass or fighting in the building spends the night in the box. First bell is at 5 minutes of 8. Between you and getting your bunk. Last bell is at 8. Any man not in his bunk at 8 spends the night in the box. There's no smoking in the prone position in bed. To smoke, you must have both legs over the side of your bunk. Any man caught smoking in the prone position in bed spends the night in the box. You get 2 sheets every Saturday. You put the clean sheet in the top sheet in the bottom sheet you turn in the laundry board. Any man turns in the wrong sheet spends the night in the box.
Which?
No one will sit in the bunks with dirty pants on. Any man with dirty pants on sitting on the bunk spends the night in the box. Any man don't bring back his empty pop bottle spends the night in the box. Any man loud talking spends the night in the box. I'm responsible for order in here. Any man don't keep order spends the night in the box.
Everybody sing.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life. And I had
sing, damn it, Earl, it's a night in the box.
Just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today. Cause the flag still stands for freedom.
Any man caught not singing,
can't take that away.
Spends the night in the box. Anybody not caught singing, caught not singing, whenever Lee Greenwood sings God Bless the USA, spends a night in the box. Just sickening. Just disgusting. Torture boxes. Straight out of Cool Hand Luke.
And this is the best we can come up with? Just sad and pitiful. Heartbreaking. Why? Because I think that the Iraqis, well, they're violent. Got to understand, there's violence and there's violence. The definition is not carved in stone. It tends more toward the fluid. It can be whatever the guards say it is. Oh, it just makes me feel patriotic to think about putting Arabs in boxes. And yeah, because, you know, that's going to make them feel so much better about us. We'll take a break. We'll come back. You want to chime in? You're welcome to. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is The Horn. I'm Bob.
Well, I got a little place out of Highway 10.
Get your ally in the street. There's a sale down at the mall. You don't want to be late. Yeah, and I live in the USA. No better place to be. Greasy fast food bag messing up your SUV. There's a fine for litter. If you get caught, just chuck it out the window. Don't give it a thought. Don't worry, mama. Convicts will pick it up. Never mind those plastic bottles and styrofoam cups. There'll be a chain gang along any day now to pick them up. There's a big barge load just floating right offshore. Environmental debates down on the Senate floor. Don't let no do-gooder spoil your fun. We got three-time losers out working in the sun. Don't worry, Mom, the convicts will pick it up. Pick it up now. Never mind those plastic bottles and styrofoam cups. There'll be a chain gang along any day now to pick 'em up. Yeah, the world's your motel, honey. You're just one of the guests. You paid for your key, the right to make a mess. You got big bulldozers digging down in the ground. They're gonna bury your shame. They gotta dig way down. Don't worry, Mama, the convicts will pick it up. Don't worry, Mama, the convicts will pick it up. Pick it up. See, the trouble is, you just can't get good help around here anymore.
Yeah. Now, how's that? I guess that means this is two for Thursday. Right.
Any man don't keep order spends a night in the box.
Phil Lee and John Koontz. Dandy good. Now, they can't do anything right in Iraq, I suppose. By the way, if you want to chime in, you're welcome to. 304-658-3333 on your nickel. On ours, 877-443-2366. It's that easy. Anytime, any way that you want to get in on the conversation, you are more than welcome to. Now, the Iraqis can't get anything right. I'm not saying that. Who's saying that? Flush Flimball is saying that. You know, I had a big dose of that stuff that Flush loves about 4 days ago. And you know what? I don't care how much they'd pay me. I'm not willing to do that much dope. No, because you got to be really, really wasted to be Flush Flimball. Say the things he does. Now he's decided that trying to become nonviolent in Iraq is a bad thing. This is from his show, Flush Flimball's show on Wednesday, in reference to a report in the Wall Street Journal regarding Iraqi so-called cleric Muqtada al-Sadr. The Wall Street Journal said he, quote, intends to disarm his once dominant Mahdi army militia and remake it as a social services organization. So, of course, Flimball had a field day with that. And, never mind. Hear it for yourself, okay?
So now we got Mookie and his boys. They're going to become community organizers. And, of course, that's what Obama did. Then who better to advise Mookie?
Oh! Back up. Let's get that started again. That's right. There's no difference between Muqtada al-Sadr and... Yeah, you got it.
So now we got Mookie and his boys. They're going to become community organizers. And, of course... That's what Obama did. Then who better to advise Mookie than Obama? Seriously, that's what he's going to do. They're going to do social services.
Pay attention to how he uses the language. There's nobody better to advise Mookie than Barack Obama. Seriously, that's what he's going to do. Now, see, if you listen to the audio, seriously, that's what he's going to do. Refers to the next line, but the way that the Flimball poison works, and because of the generally dramatically lower brain capacity of the average Flimball listener, what gets through is this.
So now we got Mookie and his boys, they're going to become community organizers, and of course, that's what Obama did. Then who better to advise Mookie than Obama? Seriously, that's what he's going to do. They're going to...
Really?
Barack Obama is going to advise Muqtada al-Sadr. And, of course, this just plays right into the hands of all the wingnut freaks out there who... Well, I reckon they would. I mean, Muqtada al-Sadr, I mean, he's a Muslim. And Barack Obama, he's a Muslim. Why wouldn't he advise... Pardon me, I'm wait a minute, I got a little bit of gravel on my knuckles from walking on them. Disgusting. See, that's the thing. Right-wingers cannot discuss issues. Right-wingers cannot discuss a topic without cheating. They cheat. That's what they do. Oh, dear God. No, no, no. Not that. Not the Matt Friedman Show. I was just wandering over to Wingnut Central. Let's see what Matt Friedman's doing tonight.
Welcome back, friends. The Matt Friedman Show, OneNewsNow.com. Listen, if you are watching at OneNewsNow.com, I want you to know that right below the screen there is a little line there which you can punch up, and it is all about my seminary. This In the Fight, you can get the In the Fight book.
Oh, they can't go 15 seconds without a hustle, these right-wingers. Just gorgeous. Just gorgeous. So, no, we'll go back to the one. We'll go back to these wingnuts. But no, wingnuts can't engage in a conversation without cheating. Here, let's finish up with Flemball real quick.
Social services, education, social justice. I guess Mookie's thrown his hands in with the left over there. He's going to throw down the weapons and start disrupting the society, much like the civil rights organizations here in this country have tried to do to ours.
What a filthy, bigoted, racist pig Flush Flemball is. Did you hear that? I mean, they really can't. The Iraqis are damned if they do and damned if they don't. If we're occupying their country, and if they fight us, then, you know, they're insurgents. But we're not occupiers. And if they throw down their weapons, well, there's America's truth detector, friends and neighbors, mocking them for it. Now, see, we know from the history of folks like Jesus Christ and Gandhi and Martin Luther King, we know that nonviolence and passive resistance works. So the implication is that he's maybe going to go that route. Lord knows that the Palestinians could win their dispute with the Israelis almost overnight if they would just put down the guns and the rockets and the bombs. Yeah, it hurts. It hurts when they keep on shooting your apartment complexes with helicopter gunships that are equipped with, you know, hellfire missiles and things like that. It hurts, but pretty soon the world opinion becomes intolerably strident. I mean, look at what happened in India. The British didn't leave India because they suddenly realized it would be better if they did. The British left India because the world had swung to Gandhi's side. And if the Palestinians could figure that out, they would have their state like that, free and independent. But they haven't figured it out. But maybe Muqtada al-Sadr has. Oh, shares. Put down the weapons and start dealing with things like social services and education and social justice and empowerment. He's going to throw down the weapons and start disrupting the society, much like the civil rights organizations here in this country have tried to do to ours. Really, that's what Dr. King was doing, right? Flush, You filthy old Lester Maddox wannabe. Disrupting the society, much like the civil rights organizations here in this country have tried to do 2 hours. Poor old Bull Connor. Bull Connor. Bull Connor was just being put upon. Poor Bull Connor. Flush Flimball, those nasty civil rights activists out there trying to get some basic level of human rights. They were, disrupting the society. Disrupting the society, much like the civil rights organization here in this country have tried to do to ours. Because, you know, civil rights are a bad thing. Affording human dignity and constitutional protections to every member of this society, well, we certainly can't have that in Rush Limbaugh's repig-licking world, now can we? When is this man going to be driven from polite society? I'm amazed by it. He's going to throw down the weapons and start disrupting the society, much like the civil rights organizations here in this country have tried to do to ours. Yeah, that's what he was doing. The Medgar Evers was disrupting. Those three freedom riders that were buried in the earthen banks of the dam in Mississippi, they were disrupting the patriotic construction of that dam by having their nasty liberal bodies buried in the dirt. Emmett Till was disrupting society by winking at a white woman. The thousands upon thousands upon thousands of African Americans who were lynched in the South were disrupting society. Jesus, if we had any moral starch in us in our country anymore, Rush Limbaugh would have to flee the country. What a vile cur he is. Yeah, and you know what? I do despise him. I loathe him. He makes me ashamed. Because there are people out there that think he is a prototypical American. And what causes me to sit bolt upright at 3 o'clock in the morning with a cold sweat running down my head is the possibility that in 2008, by God, he may be. Please understand the subtlety of a bigoted, filthy, racist attack like this. Guilt by association.
Well, they're going to be community organizers just like Obama.
Oh, well, you know, if one thing's equal to another, the thing that it's equal to is equal to the thing that... You know what I mean. Murtada al-Sadr equals Barack Obama. Barack Obama equals Murtada al-Sadr. They're all Muslims, and they're secret terrorists, and they're going to just... Right. Murtada al-Sadr is going to disrupt Iraqi society much like Barack Obama will disrupt ours. Every time I find one of these sleazy, filthy, new pieces of garbage emanating from the rectum that is strangely implanted on Rush Limbaugh's face. Every time I think, well, you know, it can't get any worse than this. Oh, Bob, you're wrong. There's more. And he does it again. Now, the Wall Street Journal didn't exactly have it spot on. The militia is being reorganized largely into a cultural movement called the Mo Mahidun. and elite military cells. Elite. Oh, see how that works? Elitism. Elite. Elite military cells dedicated to armed resistance against the occupiers. That, according to Sheikh Salah al-Obadiah. But according to Flush Flembaugh, who is slowly going absolutely syphilitically insane, well, that's not what they're doing. They're disrupting society just like Dr. King did. They're disrupting society just like the lunch counter sit-ins did. They're disrupting society. My friends, we would have a perfectly enjoyable, pleasant little white nation to live in if it wasn't for all this societal disrupting. You know, call me crazy, but I think we're a better country for the civil rights movement. I mean, that's just me. But I really do. I think the civil rights movement made us a better country. So did I hear that correctly? Mr. Matt Friedman was pitching his seminary, or did he mean seminar? We may never know. I don't know. Don't make me go back and... by the way, don't be confused in case we had a little internet burp here and things got a little bit weird. But no, this is all live again. Let's see what is happening on the telephone. Hey, welcome to the program.
Yeah, God's a greetings, Bob. How are you?
Hey, Spike, what's happening, brother?
It's been a mixed day. All right. First things first. Last time I called, I didn't quite get to this, and it's still kind of big in the news now, so it's still relevant. Bruce Ivins and his death, and them claiming... Oh, well, this was the guy.
Yeah, we got him. Oh, yeah, that's definitely him.
Yeah, I question, like, all I've heard so far is we found in his lab the spores that went with the ones that were delivered, and we swabbed his car to see if there were traces in that, and it kind of cracks me up because it's like, well, wasn't he worked on the investigation team? Like, I wonder how he would come in contact with that within the past 7 years. When he's on the investigation team, they have yet to produce anything that clearly connects him to those letters. They haven't done any of that.
Oh, yeah, but he played a murderer in high school, Spike.
Yeah, and he had some fictional book about some sort of borderline biochemical storyline. It's questionable beyond is an understatement, really.
But I got one more for you. You're going to love this. Have you seen this? In 2003, now we're not talking about, you know, way back before the anthrax attacks, but 2003, the Secretary of the Army, Thomas White, gave him the highest civilian honor the Pentagon can afford, the Exceptional Civilian Service Award. It happened March 14th, 2003.
Well, we did give Paul Bremer a large award once as well.
Presidential Medal of Freedom, right, yeah.
Yeah, so apparently maybe there's not always that much thought given into what goes on in the Beltway, but from all the other accounts of people involved with him, he was just clearly, he was a guy looking to solve the case and became the scapegoat, possibly because maybe he did know who was behind it, and I mean... You think we're a nation of insane people, only unfortunately, more often than not, these crazy theories have some validity to it. You know, what it really turns out to be is Dick Cheney's behind it all, and he's keeping everyone quiet, and he's becoming like Jimmy from Goodfellas, you know, whacking everybody that could connect him to it. I mean, I had to bite my tongue on a few words to say.
I know. It happens to me every night.
But, My lord, I don't believe anything any Justice Department being run by the Bush administration has to say about anything, considering the amount of crimes they have been directly responsible for. So I hold this all into a heavy question. This is definitely, if you're going to talk about a conspiracy theory, here's one that's got a little bit of weight to it that's definitely worth talking about. Then again, our investigation of any terrorist issue seemed to be a debacle. Certainly the man who was accused of being the Olympic bomber in 1996, Olympics about the Oval, we got to reference the last time they were in this country, and
sure,
there was a bombing incident there. Just by the way, just weeks apart from the TWA Flight 800, kind of interesting that the summer of presidential election, there were two incidents, one that was written off as a technical issue after all the reports on radio and TV in New York of eyewitnesses said they threw something towards it prior to its explosion, but then you had the Olympic Park bomber, which they blamed on a security guard because I know
he had some pornography.
Yeah, and turned out it wasn't him. And then the guy who they did blame for it, he was kind of another debacle. He was hidden out in the woods.
And that man, Richard Jewell is dead now.
Yeah,
been dead a couple of years. Yeah, he was basically hounded to death. But don't you love that? Yeah. They did the same thing to Bruce Ivins. I had some dirty pictures, okay? That means he's the anthrax killer, all right? I mean, it's Richard Jewell all over again.
I guess if he would have been looking for a Lewinsky from another man in an airport restroom, he would have been normal. Well, we got the Republican convention coming. I got to go for all my one-liners that are in season right now. You know, I'm having a bad. It's a mild summer for me with my tomatoes and peppers. So I got to find something in season. So I'm going with one-liners. hopefully, I'm not going to jump the shark before the call's over. But I love how they look for the silliest stuff to go after people. The character assassination. Well, Scott Ritter is a great example of character assassination. The whole not that I'm saying it's right, trust me, if I had a teenage daughter, I'd want to beat the you-know-what out of any older dude trying to pick her up on the internet or something kind of deal. But they tried to use that with discrediting Scott Ritter before we went into Iraq, which maybe he doesn't know how to pick up chicks, but he does know about weapons of mass destruction in Iraq.
Yeah.
And clearly he knew what he talked about. Actually, everything he said turned out to be 100% right. There was nothing wrong with everything he said about Iraq was exactly right. And, Bush likes to say, well, history proved me right. Well, history proved Scott Ritter right. But he was heavily discredited, and especially through any News Corp media outlet. They really, really hammed up the story about him being let go and never actually being charged. So it was just a loose allegation being thrown out there to discredit him. And, that certainly worked for the country's advantage in retrospect. It is not something like that was able to discredit someone who could really debunk the whole lies into war. So it's the same tyrant MO. And the even more tyrant part is that all these Democrats can't figure out a way to beat it. And it becomes frustrating.
Yeah.
All I will say is that if the Democrats fumble the ball in the red zone this time around, they should just seriously don't be Brett Favre anymore. Just call it quits.
Yeah. Right.
If you can't beat McLean, I mean, if you can't beat this guy who is bubbling so hard, he's alienating his own supporters as he goes along. And I am referencing the Hilton family, who was some of his biggest donors, and he ran that ad not realizing. You're the only people supporting you are the ultra rich. If you upset them, you might not have much left. And, clueless campaign, who knows who's running it for him? Clearly he's not. And, no one at those levels run their own.
I'm beginning to wonder if Cindy's running it.
Well, I'm just thankful Cindy did not participate in any song competition in Sturgis. On behalf of all the liberal redneck.
Don't make me play that Kid Rock thing again. Do not make me do. I got protest letters last night.
I'll just say that he handed the world of late night comedy quite a load of material, saying he wanted to enter Cindy in that competition. I forget which show showed it. Showed the girl in a bikini doing something with a banana.
Right.
That's not the thing. I can't see Jack Kennedy saying he would enter Jackie Onassis into that. You want to talk about looking presidential. You might want to avoid the barroom beauty scene, so to speak. He's G-rated. I'm not really sure. Anyone who knows anything about bike rallies, that's definitely not conservative. When you think about what goes on at some of those beauty pageants.
No, and I don't want to see Cindy in a wet T-shirt.
No.
Sorry, no. Can't make me, won't do it. Not going to happen.
But, by the way, I would also like to mention to people out there, as silly as it sounds, anyone who was a big fan of Edwards or Kucinich, they still shirts and stickers and stuff that are like 50% off, which I actually bought shirts recently because, I don't have a lot of money, but they're 50% off. I have them because I really want to show what I really supported. You know, I don't want to be caught up in this history of, people say, oh, you must have supported this. No, I didn't support this. I mean, these are the guys I supported, and they didn't even stand a chance, sadly. You know, and especially Edwards actually has great bumper stickers that don't have his campaign name on it. It just says, support our troops, end the war. And that's 50% off. Those are great stickers to have right now, to be honest, since the war is going on like no one's business. I just think it would be nice that the liberals out there, this is our time too, to strong arm a little bit the Obama camp and the corporate run Democratic Party and remind them if they want our vote, they got to cater us a little. Don't I'm sick and tired of this. Vote for us now, and then when we're in, we'll be on your side. We keep hearing it, and it doesn't happen. You know, I know you don't like them, but the whole reason Nader doesn't go away essentially is because they ignore the liberals.
Well, and they ignore some of the stuff that he has in his platform. I don't take any issue with that, Spike. I think we'd have a better Democratic Party if we could pull the people who are Naderites into the party and start moving it in that direction. But basically, the Naderites have just given up. They think that and you know what? Time may prove that that they're right about the Democratic Party. Time may prove that. But right now, I can't envision 4 or 8 years of an America with the iron jackboot. Okay, not the iron jackboot. With the iron scuffy of John McCain on its throat. I can't. So.
Well, keep in mind, a lot of conservatives also don't like him, which is actually what really makes him a losing candidate. You know, the far right, which has been keeping Bush and Cheney and them in power, they don't like him. You know, they were either on the Ron Paul libertarian side, or they were on the even crazier, Huckabee side. And a lot of them might go Constitution Party.
That Constitution Party. Now, there's some real live chuckleheads.
That party is essentially based right out of here in Pennsylvania.
Is it really?
I
know West Virginia has a West Virginia Constitution Party. I don't think they've ever managed to get on the ballot. But I read their platform one time, and it's, there's got to be some heavy, heavy duty, better living through chemistry going on just to sit down and craft that platform.
Well, the best is 4 years ago, I got the documentary, the candidate for president, runner for president. Kind of, it's an interesting thing to watch. A lot of right wing suburbanites and McMansions in the Constitution Party. But it was interesting that they were an anti-Iraq war group. They were more on like the Buchanan side of conservatism when it came to that, at least. Interesting group.
When you catch them by themselves, they're working on their English translation of the Horst Wessel lead. I mean, they really are. They're creepy, creepy right-wing types.
Yeah, well, they give the tired argument that this isn't a democracy, it's a republic with a democratic government, which it's such a foolishly incorrect way of talking about our government. Somehow they think there's some validity to that argument. Either way, it means a democratic government, which means the people are supposed to have a say. I love when it's kind of spun like, no, you don't have a say. It's a republic. A democratic government. As long as you keep the word democratic in it, that means allegedly we vote, for who we choose and what we speak. But, Jim Clymer, who's like one of the heads, he ran in 2004 when Arlen Specter ran for the Senate. And Arlen Specter creamed everybody. But second place, the Democrat, who didn't really even have Democrats backing him, he actually just barely squeaked out one ahead of Clymer, who got over 250,000 votes. Pennsylvania is an interesting state. That 250,000 people would vote for a party that in most other states is kind of a fringe party. They almost actually grabbed second place. I mean, Arlen Specter had an ungodly amount of votes. I remember that year there were a lot of people with Kerry Edwards signs that had other Democrats running for office, and the Senate part they would like cover up with tape or something, and they'd have a Specter sign on next to it. So we're a little weird out here, so it's no surprise, I guess, in a way that the Constitution Party would actually be strong in our state. So, but that's what gives me the kind of the inside look that,
I would agree with any conservative who says that John McCain is not conservative enough to be president of the United States. I'd say I agree, and brother, you need to go and vote for Bob Barr. I want you to. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. Hey, and another thing I got to bring up today that really made me shake my head is, and it was actually I'm going back to that reference in that stupid Paris Hilton video, although I did laugh at it, is there was an ad on the one radio station I listened to for Bill Press, and he says, I'd expect this from other clowns, and he rambles off people, and Nader's thrown in there, and I'm not surprised. And he also threw, I thought this was really low class, Cynthia McKinney, she called, stereotyping her as a clown with Republicans and Nader.
Yeah.
If anyone should be declared a clown, it's this guy who his best days was losing debates to Pat Buchanan. I tried reading one of his books once, and it actually bored me quicker than an Ann Coulter book, and that's saying something. I just wanted to float that one out there. And also another crazy thing from the world of liberal radio where a derogatory word for lesbians was used by Lynn Samuels towards, what's her name? She fills in for Oberman.
Rachel Maddow?
Rachel Maddow, yeah. She called her the D word.
Ah.
She was going on a tyrant, about Obama as a Nazi and this and that. She's off her rocker because the only two... the two shows she listens to on radio, one of them Savage, she admits. So she's literally, she's like the left-wing Michael Savage at this point. I emailed that to Media Matters, and I have yet to see anything on that. Maybe because since it's satellite radio, they might have a hard time getting there. Yeah, I don't record her show. But just floating that one out there, anyone who knows how to get that audio, get that to Media Matters. I really think that... She needs to get a little bit of a Don Imus shakedown for that one. That was a little more out of line than what got Rhodes in trouble.
What's the point in that? I don't mean what's the point in what you're talking. I mean, why? What's the point in referring to someone who's on the same side with that word?
She's one of these. Well, she's one of the many crazy old women in New York that are like rabid for Hillary. The ones that Hillary's encouraging to nominate her at the primary as of.
Oh, no.
That's what the corporate media is reporting. And I figure since it's about the Clintons and the corporate media, it's got to be right since no one's as a bigger friend of corporations than the Clintons. They're kind of the New York Yankees of politics, which is why their fans are such sore losers. They don't understand what it's like to lose once in a while. I guess that explains me being a Phillies fan with Buffy Nader. But, this makes me shake my head because these are the same people that scream when independents run in the race. You're gonna ruin it for us. And here they are playing these baby games. I don't understand what's the point anymore. I mean, if anyone should be telling their supporters to nominate them, it's like Kucinich or someone. But, I don't understand. people say don't use the race card. What is this then? I mean, it's racism.
Well, that's you know, last night, Spike, I talked about the damages trial going on with those two televangelist fraudmongers, Joel and Victoria Osteen. That trial has opened up in Texas, and lo and behold, if today they got started and the evidence was adduced that Victoria Osteen only wanted to deal with the white flight attendant. And immediately, the Osteen's lawyer started having a conniption. I object to them playing the race card.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. Yeah. It's not the race card if the evidence is that you refuse to deal with the two African-American flight attendants and you physically assaulted one of them. Is that playing the race card or is that just a fact? Let's see. Here's the quote. Just before her testimony concluded, Johnson suggested race might have played a part in the incident because of remarks Victoria Osteen made about only wanting to deal with Johnson, who is white, and not with either Brown or a third flight attendant on the plane, who are African-American. Rusty Hardin, Victoria Osteen's attorney, accused Johnson and Brown's attorney, Reginald McCary, of playing the race card. Don't you call race and get upset with me being loud.
Hey, what was her lawyer's name again?
Victoria Osteen's lawyer?
Yeah.
Victoria Osteen's lawyer is, dadgummit.
Did you say Rusty Hardin?
Yes. Rusty Hardin.
All right, I'm sorry,
I'm very proud of you for catching that, Spike, because I might not have. Yeah, that's like the two fundy televangelists have a lawyer named Rusty Hardin. I wonder if that's anything like Rusty Trombone or a Cleveland Steamer.
Yeah, I perhaps that proves that I am only 14 years old.
Oh, but there's such a value to it, Spike.
And that's why I wear headphones on calls, just so I can clearly hear things, so I don't miss anything.
Yeah. Rusty Hardin, Victoria Osteen's attorney. That's just precious now. I can't read that with a straight face anymore. Thanks a lot, Spike.
Well, maybe if anything happens to Joel Osteen's dentist, we'll find out his name is Dam Builder or something. I don't know. Ooh, a little shot at him there. But anyways, first of all, how can you take any religious individual serious who converts an NBA team's former home into their church? I believe his mega church used to be
the former home of the Rockets. Yes, yes.
That'd be like someone turning the Spectrum into a church.
Well, but they consecrated it and got all the smells of peanuts and popcorn and beer and hot dogs out of it.
Yeah, well, the Spectrum, that'd be sacrilege. The smell of alcohol and urine in the men's room needs to be very pungent for it to be the Spectrum.
Take your word for it. You know, a true son of Philly. Yeah, yeah.
Well, also too, the place has not been renovated in quite some time, so it really is kind of in rough shape at this point, and will be a shame to see it go. I just hope that Bruce Springsteen gets the final event there, because that's the big rumor, is he's going to play the final event ever there, since it was the first arena he ever played and ever sold out.
Oh, that'd be a beautiful thing.
Oh my God, they won't have to worry about disassembling seats in that place if he closes it out. The fans will take it home with them. Actually, they'll probably check the fans' tools. That's the best. That's what they did at the Phillies last game. They searched everyone for hand tools. Make sure no one stole the seats. maybe they won't have to worry about demolishing the roof after the Springsteen show.
I was going to say, it's not like a football or a baseball stadium where you can run down and get a piece of turf or something afterward. No. I mean, how do you take home a big chunk of Spectrum funk?
Well, people ripped Connie Mack to shreds at the last play. They ripped signs off the concessions, and it was kind of a riot when Connie Mack closed the last game because the city didn't think people would want to take the stadium home with them. So I can think of stuff to take home from the Spectrum. It cheesy stuff that if you're not from Philly, you wouldn't get why you'd want to get. Like, the Chickie and Pete's sign, I wouldn't mind having that. Just, you know, anyone who's from the Philly area has had their craft fries. Yeah, it's silly stuff, but certainly when they auction off the place, I'm sure, I don't know what good use you can put those seats to at their age, but certainly the lockers.
There's somebody out there that'll buy them on eBay, Spike.
Oh, you're kidding me. If there wasn't an ice storm for the auction for the vest stuff, I'd have Veterans Stadium garbage cans in my yard with yeah. the logo of the stadium. Trust me, I'm no better than them. So, but
you know what? You're the real deal. I'm not saying that you're a battery thrower or anything, but you're a Philly sports fan, even though you're a Miami Dolphins fan. You really are. You got Philly in your heart, man.
Yeah, well, you know, in a way, I'm just kind of an Eagles fan, you know, two Super Bowl trophies before my time as a Dolphins fan. They've never won anything. I was born in 1979. They haven't won anything since I was born. So, I'm just kind of rooting for a team that's never done anything in the NFL. Just, you know, I like the Dolphins better. But,
So your prediction, your prediction, J-E-T-S, Jets. What does Brett Favre do in the green and white?
Well, since Jason Taylor is no longer a Dolphin, they'll at least win week one against the Dolphins. From there, you got to keep in mind, anytime anyone who is big goes to the Jets, it's always been kind of a bust. Boomer Esiason was...
Yeah, the Jets are the kiss of death, aren't they? I mean, really.
Unless you start there, you know, or Namath was drafted by someone else but refused to play with them and ended up with the Jets.
It was a shame Chad Pennington, you know, didn't kind of, just too injury prone, I guess. But, you know, he was a sharp quarterback. It just didn't work.
You know, I'm hearing now he's a good possibility he might end up in Miami. Maybe that's good.
I'd like to see him go somewhere and succeed.
Yeah, I wouldn't have minded seeing Favre going to Miami, but in the same too. Miami needs a quarterback that'll last more than 2 years. We haven't had that since Jake Fiedler. The guy who at the time everyone
man, that's just sad.
Thought was horrible, and now post Marino, you're like, wow, Jay Fiedler is the best guy we had after Marino, and you know we didn't appreciate it at the time. He was, you know, right after Marino, and it was hard to take someone who was a
well, it's like Bubby Brister following Terry Bradshaw in Pittsburgh. You know.
Yeah, there's some acts that's just not good to follow in Philadelphia. People have been following third base for many a years now. So, I mean, you see it in almost every... Once you have someone who's great at anything, people following them, they don't look so good. And actually, in presidential...
Never be the guy who follows the legend. Be the guy who follows the guy who followed the legend. It's a very basic rule.
And in presidential elections right now, we have the exact opposite in that, you know, we've had the worst, and everyone looks great in comparison.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. I can't get this message across strongly enough. We have not had the worst. We have not had the worst. I promise you, Spike, as God is my witness, George W. Bush is not the worst. John McCain is dumber. John McCain is meaner. John McCain is more venal. John McCain, 4 to 8 years of John McCain, and even Democrats will be looking back going, oh, you know, Bush wasn't so bad. And I know that seems just absolutely just crazier than a sprayed roach to say, but I promise you it's true.
Well, look at George Herbert Walker Bush. Man, he looked terrible.
Well,
he looks like a genius.
That's the story of Republican presidencies. From one Republican president, do you realize, and granted, we're going back in time further than anything you and I can talk about from an eyewitness perspective, but there were people who looked up, and historians and, you know, all the people who get paid to think this kind of stuff, who said that Warren Gamaliel Harding was as bad, I mean, Grant was bad, but Warren Gamaliel Harding was the worst. It cannot possibly get any worse than Warren Gamaliel Harding. Then you get, and then, you know, he drops dead. Calvin Coolidge comes in, and Hoover follows Coolidge, and the Great Depression happens, and they're going, wow, maybe Harding wasn't so. And then you get rid of the Repiglicans for a good long while because that generation was prone not to forgetting what Repiglicans do to America. But then that generation died, and you wind up, you get Ronnie Reagan. I don't count. Well, I don't count Eisenhower in there because Eisenhower was sort of an anomaly. He had no real politics to him, if you know what I mean. He had loyalties. He could have as easily been a Democrat as a Republican.
It's almost like a grant president.
Yeah. So then you get Nixon, and there's Watergate, and America goes, "Golly, Ned, anything will be better than Nixon." And then there's the brief interregnum of Gerald Ford, and then comes Ronald Reagan. And Ronnie Reagan's wandering around the world saying things like ketchup is a vegetable. And we're thinking, well, this senile old fool, it can't get any worse than him.
Honoring some Nazis in Germany.
Yeah, you know, going to Nazi cemeteries and right. And so then you get George H.W. Bush and his genius vice president, Dan Quayle, who says, you know, I'm going to Latin America next week, and it makes me really wish I'd paid more attention to Latin in high school. And the collective psyche of America just does one of those, don't, you know, moments. And then he corrects the kid with her spelling of potato, swearing that the word potato has an E on the end of it.
And like any true conservative, he wasn't wrong at the time. No, I'm right.
Yeah, I got it. I mean, that's how it is. So then, you know, America, okay, well, that's over. We got Bill Clinton. Bill's going to fix stuff. And Bill did fix a lot of stuff. Bill was hamstrung by a stupid right-wing repiglick in Congress. He might have done a hell of a lot more had he not been. And we think, well, darn, Bill's leaving. Well, Al Gore's a smart guy. No way this moron from Texas can beat Al Gore. And, of course, we know he didn't. And then we get George, and, I mean, this part, we're in history land, and you and I live through it, and we know that, well, yeah, he's a moron. George W. Bush is a certified, pig-eyed, jug-eared, empty-headed little dolt. I mean, doesn't have enough sense to pour piss out of directions on the heel. But you know what? No matter how stupid he is, history has proven that around the corner there is always another repiglickin who is even meaner or even dumber or what's worse, a combination of the two. And I tell you, I promise you, you can write it in ink, call me back in a few years if McCain gets in the White House. John McCain is eviler, dumber, more hateful than George W. Bush ever thought of being. I know we're using Bush and thought in the same sentence, and that doesn't really count, but you get my meaning.
Looking back, I wish Teddy Roosevelt wasn't so far removed from time. Look at him compared to the rest of them. Today, if he ran for anything in that party, they'd call him a far-left liberal.
Oh, yeah, he'd be part of the far-left agenda, getting slimed by Bill O'Reilly every night, sure.
Because he believes in maybe not destroying all nature, you know, busting up a few giant corporations so that some people can compete in the market. It has been pretty much downhill for a century, and I do...
It's been downhill since the first Republican president, okay? And I'm not sliming Lincoln, but from there you get all the forgettable presidents after Ulysses Grant, and all they can do is try to figure out a way to get their front feet in the trough along with the back feet, and it's just corruption after corruption after corruption, scandal after scandal after scandal. But look at the American people put him in office. So what does that say about the American people?
That's always the point.
How terrible
our leaders are. How terrible are the voters that are voting for them?
It was Hoover whose slogan was a chicken in every pot, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one. No, there wasn't no chicken. Hell, there wasn't no pot. There wasn't nothing to make a fire with. Oh, mercy. Hey, Spike, I got to roll on, brother, but good hearing from you.
Yeah, no, same here. And, it's only going to get worse in the next few months. If people are sick of the baloney that isn't really news in the election, it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Oh, so. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. I remember the morning after the 2004 election, or the night after, I came on the air and I said, look, that wasn't an election we had last night. That was a national IQ test, and we failed.
Yeah. Yeah,
these are,
I mean,
presidential elections in the United States are no longer referendums on individuals. They are national referendums on our collective intelligence. I don't think there's any way of getting around that.
Yeah, well, the effect of a media allowing us to be ignorant as well. And, it's sad, and I hope McCain loses. I know I won't vote for him, but we'll see what happens, because people will vote for him, and we'll see just how many are fooled by it.
Far more than you and I are probably willing to admit, Spike.
Yeah, and on that chipper note, I bid you a farewell.
All right, have a good night, brother.
You too.
Bye now. Okay, I hope you didn't bail. Aw, darn it, you had to go away. Well, then let's take a little break. Let's keep on our musical theme for the evening. What do you say? A little something else to follow up. Another box song sent along by John Fox. A little something from Alice in Chains. Light up the phones if you want to. 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on, or on your nickel, 304-658-3333. We'll be right back. This is The Horn.
It remains to be seen how many other songs we can find with the word box in the title. Thanks, John. It's a dandy. Just thinking about that, but I don't have it. Grateful Dead, Box of Rain. I don't know. All right, we are halfway through the program for this evening, and let's see. Got a bunch of lights lit up, and Nope. Oh, that's weird. A whole bunch of phone calls, and they were all busy signals. You guys trying to play havoc with my head. It's not nice to mess with the self-produced talk show host, okay? So let's see. Little convention update for you. You'll love this. Lawsuit was filed in Denver. Filed by the American Civil Liberties Union, the American Friends Service Committee, and a number of others in regard to the free speech zones for the Democratic National Convention in Denver. It was, they sued the United States Secret Service and the City of Denver, both of whom were who were responsible for the free speech zones. And lost. Yep, there are going to be George Bush-style free speech zones in Denver at the convention. That's pretty sickening. Because while it was done by the Secret Service in the city of Denver, you can't help thinking that if the Democratic Party had stood up on its hind legs and said, listen, we don't do free speech zones, from the shores of the Pacific to the shores of the Atlantic, from the Canadian border to the Gulf of Mexico and the Mexican border, that's the free speech zone, right? Because that's, well, and Alaska and Hawaii to boot, and the U.S. Virgin Islands and the Marianas Protectorate and, yeah, Puerto Rico, all kinds of free speech going on. That's the free speech zone. But U.S. District Judge Marsha Krieger said, well, yes, the protesters will suffer some infringement on their freedom of expression, but those interests have to be balanced with security concerns. Yes. Because, you see, we are the coward nation, C-O-W-E-R-E-D, the coward nation, and we are all just pants-wettingly terrified. We are scared to plumb pieces. The restrictions inhibit the plaintiff's ability to engage in some forms of expressive conduct, but the plaintiffs have a wide variety of alternative means of expression that will allow them to effectively communicate their messages, Krieger wrote in her 71-page ruling. They should take a page from the anti-abortion protesters who express their freedom of expression by putting duct tape on their mouths and being silent. That's a great form of expression, silence is, and if they could be silent like that, maybe, oh, in Fort Collins, Colorado, that'd be just great, okay? Sickening. Security needs outweighed curbs on their rights. Where the hell are we? What the hell's happened to this country? Newsflash to the wingers, Democrats didn't do this. But now they're participating in it, and just so you'll feel better, I'm ashamed of my party again. One phone call to the Secret Service in the city of Denver, because, you know, the Democratic National Committee selected the city of Denver. One phone call, no free speech zones. But see, being Democrats, we are, of course, scared. We're afraid of Rush Limbaugh and his little Operation Chaos because he called for riots in Denver. So we need free speech zones. I saw a picture the other day of where the free speech zones are. Somebody went to the Pepsi Center in Denver and took a picture from there with just a standard focal length lens. So it's not a zoom. It's not a wide angle. It doesn't look further away or nearer than what it is.
And it was a picture of a guy standing where the free speech zone will be, taken by someone standing at the Pepsi Center. And between the two, well, let's put it this way. The guy in the free speech zone, he was more or less all but invisible. He was like an ant.
He was tiny, itsy bitsy.
Really. So free speech that is shielded from people at whom the speech is directed is not free speech at all. But, of course, the Secret Service, the city of Denver, and the Democratic Party, I guess, don't get that. Then there's this follow-up, which I just think is amazing, regarding protests in Denver. This from a story at USA Today, from the Associated Press. Again, the Denver City Council. The Denver City Council passed an ordinance barring protesters from carrying buckets of feces during the Democratic National Convention. Can you just see the charge? Possession of poopy with intent to fling. Three protest groups say they've already promised not to toss, smear, or spray feces, and they call the new ordinance insulting and excessive. Denver City Council approving the ordinance 12-zip this past Monday. It also bars protesters from possessing chains, locks, or any other materials they could use to create human barricades or cause other disruptions. Well, we're just going to have a nice, friendly protest. Yes, it's going to be like the sewing circle. Why don't they just set up giant speakers and play Home on the Range 24/7? I don't advocate riot or violence, but you know what? I can guarantee you that inside the convention hall, inside the Pepsi Center, they are not going to be talking about most of the issues that really damned well matter in America. Now, I'm not talking about basket weaving for... I'm talking about real issues, real discussions about healthcare, not whose dummied up corporatized plan is better than somebody else's. I'm talking about real healthcare issues, real environmental issues, real social justice issues. None of that's going to be talked about inside the convention. And you and I both know it. But I guess we are protected a little bit insofar as this now means that the Republican Party can't do what it normally does and in rather simian fashion fling poop all over creation. But apparently there are protest groups called Recreate 68, Unconventional Action, and Tent State University. And they're pissed off because they say the ordinance wasn't needed because they've already signed an agreement not to fling poopy. Everything is stage managed. Everything is... Oh, Lord, the impeachment hearing wasn't stagecraft or kabuki theater, but apparently it sounds like this is. That's just a little bit depressing, really. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Hey, Gary, what's up?
Hey, not much. They actually are not concerned with what's going on outside this theater. Mainstream media right now, it's been going on for the last couple of days, now offset for what's going to go on inside the convention and hoping that there's a riot inside of the convention. And I don't know if you saw that little piece on the little Hillary Clinton thing that they're throwing around right now. I don't know if you saw that yet.
No, that they're trying to incite riot. Oh, my God. What? Why?
I'm saying that the videotape that, you know, they're running around with Hillary.
All the that the Hilarians are going to make a big stink and try to get her on the ballot or something?
Yeah, and I saw the video of her. She was, the way I saw it was, she was just talking to him, look, you know that you got to go through this process. We're going to try to do, we're going to work something out. I didn't see it in any way or form that she was saying that she was going to start some crap. And in fact, I don't think she wasn't saying that at all, but the mainstream media is.
Oh, but they're trying to gin the soap opera back up, Gary.
Yeah, because I'm telling you, man, they are hiding McCain. I watched Hardball yesterday, and I watched a little bit of today, and I turned it off yesterday because I was just so pissed with them. The entire show almost was about Obama. They are not talking about McCain. And I turned it off for like 2 minutes today when I was at the gym just to see what he's going to talk about. And Mike Barnacle's hosting this week. You know, Chris Matthews not there. You know, he'd be the segment where they tell you what's coming up, like when they first start the show.
Right, the tease.
Now, one of the subjects were about McCain. It was first Hillary, then it was something about Obama, then it was a little bit about President Bush, I think, and maybe the Chinese thing, and then it was something else about Obama. They are hiding this guy because he's a train wreck. They're doing the same thing they did with Bush and Gore. Remember, they hid Bush from the American people.
Yes, they did. They absolutely did. And, well, could it be any plainer than the fact that Dick Cheney has not been invited, nor has he sought to be invited, to deliver an address at the convention? At the Republican convention? He's not going to attend. He's not going to be there. They're not just hiding the past now. They're hiding the present, and they're hiding the future, Gary.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Another way to look at it, you know. I saw a little town hall thing they just showed on CNN where some person got up in McCain's face, and he started to, like, you can see that he was getting ready. I hope you catch it, because you can see he was cutting her off. He's like, you know, he was getting ready to get pissed off with her, and he just like said, okay, thank you, and then he turned his head from her, and she was like, no, I have some other questions. And then the audience started booing, and then he realized, oh, I can't just cut her off like that. So he says, oh, he turned around and goes back and says, oh, no, let her speak. And then he answered her, not in a thorough answer, like Obama did the other night when he got heckled. He went into this one-sentence framework talking point. Like, the North American Union is not going to happen. Not under my watch. It's not going to happen. That's all he said. He didn't go into details about the questions. The guy is a train wreck. The media can't cover him, Bob, because he's a boring person. He's having some mental faculties.
Bob. I don't think he's just, I was about to say, I don't think he's just boring, Gary. I think he's slipping, the gears are slipping a little bit.
They're slipping, man. I'm telling you. I've been telling people this. This guy, this thing.
That video from Florida was the one that really pushed me over the line into believing that. With the three different camera angles, if you go and dig back through Crooks and Liars, you can see it there.
Okay.
When he gets the softball question about, you know, something, you know, Senator McCain, how much do you love Israel? Or something like that. And he said, I don't think I understand. Huh? And there's this beat, disturbing silence where he's not in the world, Gary.
Well, it may be that, and also I noticed that, I mean, he's having a hearing problem. That's one thing I noticed, because yesterday I saw a clip of him at a plant somewhere, and there's a certain amount of noise in this plant. He had to have, like, this device on his ear. Now, I don't know what it was, but he had to take it off. So he's definitely having hearing problems. That's one thing for sure, because he's always asking people to repeat the question.
Well, I had someone email me earlier today the story about him at the former DH, or him in Ohio, McCain in Ohio, and the question being asked him about, you know, would he intervene to try to save jobs at the DHL, the freight service, kind of like FedEx and stuff, about him being asked about all, you know, 8,000 jobs that disappeared from there, and him saying, oh, I definitely do that, my friends. I'd try to save those jobs. Well, it turns out he was actively involved in making those jobs go away. But you can't get the for-profit media to bring that up.
I don't know, man. Something's going on with this guy. I got a good feeling now that this thing is going to probably end very quickly, a lot quicker than people think. You know, I've been hearing from people. the VP is moving this VP thing into a situation where they may just try to slide McCain out. If something does, if he really starts to tank in the poll, you know, after the debate. And I'm thinking, I don't know why they would do that, but the thing is that I think they're looking at, they're probably going to have to concede the election, but they want to at least get a test run or some kind of situation for the next Republican that is running in 2012. From what I'm seeing, and I just saw a little bit, Bob, there's no way this guy's going to get elected. He's losing it. It's not even about whether or not he has a better policy or whatever. There's no way he's going to, and the racism and all that stuff is going to be out the window. And I said from day one, but I think his age is going
to
be a factor.
But depending on who he selects to run with him, it could become a referendum on that person, that guy, for the most part. I still say the smart money is on Mike Huckabee or Jeb Bush, although, you know, if I was playing, like, three numbers and doing the, you know, the box thing like you do at the track, yeah, I'd have a dollar in there for Condi Rice.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think, you know, that's their only hope is to have somebody really, because that's the dynamic that they've established, Gary, is that the vice president runs the show.
Yeah.
John McCain said the other day that he sure wished he could have Dick Cheney be his running mate. And you know what? I'm sure that for once in John McCain's life, he was actually telling the truth.
Yeah, I think you're right, but I think they, like you said, If they can't get a vice president as a smokescreen, they look for smokescreens. They're not trying to push this guy up front anymore. And that's the thing, you know, like I said, we're running these negative ads and all sorts of stuff. It's to create noise to keep the focus on Obama. But the one thing I think they were doing a poll yesterday saying people were getting tired of hearing about Obama. They said it's getting too much on the media. So the media knows that people are getting pissed off with it, you know. And so how much longer can they keep talking about Obama every day? And eventually, it saturates out.
Well, good Lord, do you remember Chandra Levy, the missing girl in Washington D.C. and the Gary Condit? We were Gary Conditted half to death back before September 11th. You could not turn the American people were sick to death of it, and they kept doing it and kept hammering and hammering and hammering.
The Clinton thing.
Yeah, this coverage is not. You know, it's not like we used to have the image of, you know, the grizzled old newspaper editor with the fedora on the back of his head and a chomped up stub of a cigar in his mouth and his sleeves are rolled up and he says, run with it! No, these are very urbane, sophisticated, nasty little media decisions that are made in glass-walled boardrooms where they decide that, you know, it's going to be... Obama 24/7 until they think that they've gotten Obama out of the way. And frankly, I think they know what they're doing. You saw the story, I'm sure, today, Gary, about the Looney Tunes that was arrested down in Miami today.
Yeah.
If he gets elected, I'll kill him myself. And he got a visit from the Secret Service, and I guess he's been charged with threatening. But
you know, someone else that you know, that was like it might have been 2 or 3 weeks ago where somebody else was arrested for talking about he was going after Bush.
I think that was the kid up there that had the map of Camp David and had gotten some firearms or something. Yeah,
exactly. And there was some things, I think I read some stuff that he was talking about Bush, but then they kind of like they didn't talk about it, really, you know. So I agree with you. I think the media is trying to drive this narrative. But it's all centered around Obama because, like you said, that's where the interest is. I mean, people are very interested, whether it's around the world or whatever, and interested in the election. They're just kind of trying to keep it up. But see, this is the problem with the for-profit media. It's not looking in the best interest of what's best in the country. It's just like everything else. You know, this is just out of control. You know, if there's anything that I kind of worry about is this whole, like, media saturation point. You know, that we're having, because this thing is starting to get disappointing and sick. You know, you can't even watch it anymore. It's all about gossip. Like, Hillary said this, Hillary said that. Who cares what Hillary says? She's not running anymore. You know?
But again, you know, your point is very well taken, Gary. It is in the best interest of the for-profit media to try to gin up some sort of a soap opera inside the Pepsi Center. And I don't know, maybe you see some, maybe you don't see all, but, you know, I get this little newsletter digest every day that is wall-to-wall Obama hate, and it's done in the name of Puma people.
Yeah, well, they've been kind of like, you know, I was telling people back, you know, back when all this anti-Obama stuff was going on between the Clintons. I said I used to go on the boards, and I used to sit there, and I used to try to just, whenever I could, I would hear a couple of notes and tell people, look, the people here who are bashing Hillary, these are not Obama people. Yeah, there's a few. These are Republicans bashing Hillary. And you could just see them going at it. I could read this stuff, and I'm like, look, any Democrat, whether you are mad with Hillary, what she's done, some of the stuff they would say about her was way past. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was nasty. It was. I'll be the first to say that.
It was not on Obama. And then I was reading the stuff. I'm like, this is not a person. This is not a Democrat saying this. This is a Republican. This is a Republican. And that's. And I'm going to tell you something. That's a lot of that's been going on. Rush Limbaugh and all these people have been duping a lot of the Hillary people, you know, with all of this strife and strife. It's not coming from the Obama people. I'm sorry. I'm just not buying it anymore. And the Hillary people that should have gotten very smart, you know, unfortunately. They've been duped, man. It's just really sad.
It is. It's tragic. And it has potentially tragic consequences for the election if these people don't come around.
Yeah. And a lot of them saying, we're hoping that he loses so that, you know, Hillary can run in 2012. I'm like, that's never going to happen. It's just not. The best thing for the Hillary or who their people is that he wins, does a good job for 8 years, that will open it up even more for a woman next time. I mean, come on. I mean,
but not a particular one, because she'll be McCain's age after 8 years.
She'll be 68. I mean, Nancy Pelosi is 68. I mean, she could run again if she wants to. I mean, if it was there, she could run again.
Yeah.
Like you said, no, this was probably the best time for her, but hell, McCain's 4 years older than Hillary, and he's running. You know, I would take Hillary at 72 versus McCain at 72.
Oh, I think, frankly, I expect Senator Clinton to be sharp as a tack at 99.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. She's not an idiot.
It's more a question of the stress and strain of running the campaign, though, as far as I can tell. Because it. You know, as I believe it might have been David from Tennessee remarked a night or so ago, that, you know, even Barack Obama comes back from, you know, a 12 time zone tour across half the globe, and he's looking a little tired. Now, that's a 46, 47-year-old man. By the time you're 71, I mean, and that's not ageism. The human body's ability to tolerate things decreases as age increases, to tolerate stress, to tolerate strain, to tolerate exertion. And I think we're seeing some of that in John McCain. Him trying to act all tough out in Sturgis, South Dakota, I still can't get over that.
Yeah,
and surprisingly scarce coverage of it either. But, you know, here's this guy who's so worn out that he's stumbling over his own words and talk about people paying for gasoline with ducks. You're sick of four-duck gasoline. Well, okay, John. Do you want to sit down and rest a little bit, buddy? I mean, it's okay.
I don't know, man. I don't know what they're doing with this guy. I don't know why they're trying to hide him. You know,
Well, what they're trying to do is keep their powder dry, because bear in mind also, Gary, that while John McCain got a boatload of money, from the oil industry, once he declared that he was all pro offshore drilling, you know, the money just flowed like a mighty river.
Uh-huh.
But he's still behind significantly. So they got to keep him hidden. They send him to these goofy little town hall meetings where everything's supposed to be non-adversarial. He doesn't have to deal with anybody from the other side, you know, tormenting him. And so he can do these little things, and he lays low and flies under the radar until the big conclave starts in Minneapolis. And see, that thing is going to be the kickoff to their sleaze fest. And that's where the stuff is really, really going to get nasty. The traction that this Jerome Corsi book is only just now beginning to get, you know, the same guy who brought us the so-called Swift Boat veterans, that will be trumpeted. Everything in that book will be trumpeted like holy writ, beginning with the convention. And see, of course,
abomination.
Yeah.
I know Drug got up on his site, man.
And right. And so what happens is, as usual, the Democrats hold their convention first in Denver, and the Republicans sit back and pick it to pieces, and every word that they say during theirs is designed to be a direct refutation of everything that's been said by the Democrats. And then we're off and running, and I mean, then the stuff really hits the fan. And what money, and the whole reason for hiding him right now is to conserve limited resources. So
the one thing that they could twist in their favor, and I know they're working on this hard with the Republicans, is if they can turn economic catastrophe that's coming. And like I said, you know, I told you the other night, I said, you really need to check out, you know, how people, you know, people should really go check out that video. Money is debt. You can just Google it right on Google Video, like a little 47-minute video.
Right.
Explains the financial system, the way things are working now. Very simple terms. You know, you can't refute it. People see that. And what I'm saying is that the thing that's coming with these mortgages, a lot of mortgages now are going to start resetting for people who had good credit. I think that's coming down in, you know, this fall, you know, in October. The mortgages are about to reset. And what's going to start to happen is that, you know, the economy's just going to start to get so bad. I'm wondering, are the Republicans going to try to play on people's fear, you know, like you said, Obama's, you know, they're doing it already. Always going to take taxes and, you know, the usual crap they say.
You know, I was thinking of you earlier today, Gary, when I saw the story hit after Wall Street closed. The Dow dumped more than 220 points today. And the thing is, that's happening so often now that we go, dumped another 200 points. What the hell?
Yeah, but see, this is what I've been telling people. I said, I've been watching the stock market now for the last 2 or 3 years. And actually over the last, I would say 18 months, really almost 2 years now, Bob, the market has been swinging every day 100 points on average. That is, if people don't understand anything about the market, just understand the percentage points or whatever, where it's at.
That is a ship on storm-tossed seas is what that is.
Yeah, because actually in a stable market, the market should move up 5 points a day or down 5 points a day. When the market is just going good, you go back and look at, even during the Clinton year, it would go up 5 points, 10 points, maybe one day you have 30 points. You know? Now, granted, the market was smaller, but even if you double it back up, it would equal a 60-point jump, but that was like a great day on Wall Street. But what's happening now is it's profit-taking. People are playing the market like a casino. The market's never going to go back up because now people are not playing long-term. They're playing short-term. So ultimately, like any casino or anything else, the guy who is the gambler is going to lose money. We all know that.
Well, the house always wins.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And the thing, you know, those little graphs that they put up at the end of the day, more and more the Dow Jones graph is looking like the graph of some guy in the middle of a heart attack, because it spikes way up and then it immediately goes through the floor, and frankly, Wall Street is getting ready to have a heart attack. I think, you know, the reason that it tanked so badly today, big losses at a huge insurer, AIG. Retail sales went through the floor. Citibank took a powder. And then, you know, the jobless numbers came out. And Wall Street went...
Citibank is about to be investigated because they were dumping, they were doing illegal stuff with their loan security, which was basically all the banks were doing. So they're getting ready to get investigated. That's what's going to start happening with the banks. Now, that's what we talked last time about. How Morgan Stanley was hiring these people. Fraud was going on. This is a massive scale of fraud that nobody's ever seen before. And what has happened is, and I keep telling people, what happened was Bush, the crime family, that's what they are, they're a freaking crime family, went in and set the agenda in the government to steal from the U.S. Treasury. the defense contracts and all this other kind of stuff, and all the business leaders sat back and said, oh, yeah, well, we're going to do the same model. That's why, you know, leadership comes from the top. That's why he should be impeached. He should be impeached not just in setting an example of the Constitution and the president. He should be setting an example for all these other crooks out here who've stolen money from people in their homes and all this other stuff. And that's really the problem with the Nancy Pelosi's and all this other stuff. They just don't get it, man. They don't understand that Bush is now the icon of thievery, criminality, and everybody else in this country for the last 8 years who's been robbing from us, these corporations, have said, okay, it's open season on us. I mean, it's clear as day, man. I don't understand why American people can't get it. I mean, I just don't get it, Bob.
Well, they can't get it because data-dense information, all right? And you gotta sit down and have conversations like this to make it make sense. You can't do it in a 30-second soundbite. The origins of horse race journalism didn't begin with political polls, Gary. They began with the 20 seconds that the business report gets at the end of a 5-minute newscast. And the Dow closed today 220 points down on bad news from AIG.
Yeah.
More in a minute. And then that's the end of, and that's all people understand is the horse race quality. But the fact of the matter is, AIG was expecting a 63 cent per share increase. They took a 51 cent per share loss.
Yeah.
Even the NASDAQ dumped 1% of its value. And it was only saved by people like companies like Microsoft and Intel. You know, I get what you're saying about the crooks, and frankly, you know, I remember during the Clinton administration, all the children will be having sex because of Bill Clinton, blah blah blah. Well, you know, all the crooks are ripping off our financial future now because of George Bush. Now, I don't know if you saw this story the other day about pension rating, but there's a move afoot. And it's really, really disgusting, where pension funds are being raided by corporations to fund benefit packages for their multi-million-dollar executives. Not kidding. And it just shows up as a news story, and we go, oh, ho, hum.
Well, I didn't see that, but I saw a thing that they did about pension funds on PBS. You know, people really need to watch PBS more because they did something on pension funds, not what you're talking about, but they did. I remember recall seeing this about a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, where these pension funds were not being funded, basically properly because they were taking the money and, of course, putting it into, and particularly a lot of state budgets, were taking the money and putting it into these risky, what we're talking about now, these risky securities that really were just blank pieces of paper. And, you know, and they were gambling with those pension funds. They really weren't putting into, less risk-averse vehicles. They were putting it into, like, you know, speculation because they were trying to get they were being greedy, trying to get a certain rate of return. And I think probably, now that you say that, maybe to me, thinking about it, what is basically saying now, the reason why probably why they were doing that, because they were trying to fund the CEOs, like you're saying. And the only way to do that, on top of paying it out, was to invest in some risky stocks. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. And in fact, it was what I was mentioning earlier was out of the Wall Street Journal. And the headline just says companies tap pension plans to fund executives' benefits.
Uh-huh.
That headline alone ought to be enough to put people in the streets. But
I talk to people all the time about me. Their eyes glaze over when you talk about money and stuff. I mean, I work for myself and I have a little business and stuff. So it's like over the last couple of years, I had to learn about money. I mean, I had to really learn how to cash flow and all that stuff, like taxes. And reading the book that you're talking about, Free Lunch. I got that on your advice. People really need to understand how money is flowing now because you're stealing your money.
It couldn't be any plainer if there was a guy with a ski mask pulled over his head holding a gun. But instead, they've got bespoke suits, and they speak in clipped accents, and they own a few congressmen, and well, that's apparently enough to get the job done now.
Well, you know, I had an interesting conversation with a guy, you know, speaking on that. I had an interesting case with a guy where I was trying to explain him this little video I was telling you about. And in the video, it talks about basically, you know, back in the day when religion like Christianity and all the other religions didn't believe really in interest, usury, as they call it. You know, well, usury, the definition technically is an illegal or an overrated amount of interest paid. So let's say, you know, you should get an interest rate of 3 or 4%. That's fair for loaning out money. But what credit card companies and what loan sharks do, they charge you 30, 40, 50%. Our government charges that kind of money to third world countries so that you're always in debt. So basically what this video was showing was the reason why most religions were against it, because they said technically the bank is a third party. You are a person who's providing a service, and the person wants to buy your service. Why should there be a third party like a bank? You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, if you're in debt, you're in chains. That's the reason I keep talking about, you know, great big flat screen TVs and big old honking SUVs and all the stuff that we don't need that we go out and buy on credit. Man, you don't own that TV. That TV owns you.
You don't own the house. People went and bought these houses, they don't realize you don't own it. If you can be a year or 2 years away from of your house, and you know how this goes out. If you can't sell that house, I mean, if you're going to foreclose your last 2 or 3 years and you can't sell a house, you can't come up with the money to make those, say, the last $20,000-$30,000, what happens to that house?
It gets upside down.
It's upside down. If you can't sell it, what I'm saying is you lose it.
Sure. Well, exactly.
You know?
But, you know, as long as we get to, you know, we may lose the house, but we're going to keep the TV. And that's the culture that we've created here. It's a culture of get. Grab. You know, I personally don't see the value. It's a television. I mean, I know what's on television. Who cares? I mean, granted, if you're going to do the home theater thing, sure, I guess if you've absolutely got to have Blu-ray, yada, 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 and you can't see the plain old, but I guess that's my depression era parents coming out in me, and I'm finally trying, at the tender age of 45, Gary, I'm finally beginning to figure out what my parents were trying to teach me all along. But,
it's a natural reaction for people when things are going bad to try to escape, and that's what people are doing. Whereas with the TVs or the iPod sales, I mean, you look at iPod sales over the last couple of years, I mean, that's just clearly just because of people just wanting to escape. They didn't want to deal with the war. They knew it was wrong. They didn't want to deal with it. You know, they went along with it, but they didn't really want to deal with it. So what do? They go ask you what's on your iTunes list. There's nothing on my iTunes list.
Yeah, well, exactly. Oh, mercy.
iTunes list, or, you know, some other, Mike Malloy or some other program. It's probably about that. Oh, I was going to tell you one thing, Bob. I sent you a guys a little donation.
Yeah, appreciate it. I just saw that. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, one thing, if you could, you just let me know. You send back a, cause I'm kind of paranoid always about this. Whenever that happens, just send back, you know, maybe you can do some automated thank you for your support kind of thing.
Absolutely. And here, let me do it publicly on air. We sincerely do appreciate it. And I never know exactly how people want responses to that. And that's why,
yeah,
I don't.
I know you're kind of like funky about it. But
I just don't.
I'm just paranoid that you might not get it.
No, I've got it, and we sincerely do appreciate it. And like I said, I never, you know, sometimes I think about reading names off and things like that. But unless somebody specifically tells me it's okay, I'm not gonna, you know, I tend not to do that simply because I respect people's privacy.
Yeah, how's it doing for this month? You okay?
We've been in a hole for almost a year now, but you know, we're managing to keep it going. We just, you know, we fall short, and there's stuff that we don't do. There's things that we don't fix, but you know, we manage to keep it going. This particular month. We're on an okay track, but you know, we'll probably sweat it all the way to the end of the month. But you know, every month that we get close means the next month is going to happen. So, you know, it's a heck of a way to live. But frankly, it's kind of fitting, Gary, because it's how most of America lives.
Oh, that's how I live. Even with my business and stuff, I'm thankful that I'm able to earn income and do certain things. But it's like, man, sometimes get money from people. That's why sometimes whenever I send my thing, it's from a certain account.
Yeah.
So it's like I have to get like a little bit of, it comes out of my little bit of play money, which ain't much. So it's like, okay, I got a little bit less play money. Well, because I don't just give you, obviously I give to, Democratic Party and some other
right
people. I just try to, spread it out. As opposed to putting it just
I think that's a wise and not only a wise but a decent and generous thing to do, because frankly, the fundamental problem that all of us face on this side of the debate is that we don't have the mindset that you yourself do have, Gary, and that many generous and open-hearted people, regular folks have. The people with the money on our side of the fight don't have that mindset. On the other hand, on the right wing side of the fight, well, shoot, they may not know you, but if you're doing the good job, the vault will open and you will not worry about whether or not you're going to make next month's bills. And we just have our side, and I don't mean the workaday folks, the power brokers and the people who have have your people call my people and our people will have lunch. That crowd, they still don't get it. They absolutely do not get it, and it's very cliquish. It's very internecine, and frankly, I got a story to tell at some point that I haven't decided when to tell yet about all the business of us trying to go to Denver. To cover the convention, because I thought we, well, it's all kind of come down around our ears, and it's very, very frustrating because it was cliquishness in the end that bit us, and frankly, I'm probably too frustrated about it still to even begin to talk about it. But someday our side will figure it out. And
I think one thing is you gotta. I don't know, man. It's like, and you said outside you're talking really obviously more Democrats, or are you talking more the left wing part of the party?
I'm talking Democrats in general, but I'm also talking about the
Blue Dogs seem to be to get the money sometimes.
Yeah, that's true. But that's the part of it that I'm describing as being very cliquish.
Yeah.
But Democrats generally. But specifically, there are people out there who have the wherewithal, but if you're not the right guy, they don't care. I know website after website after website, organization after organization, from the minute that it was invented, liberal talk radio has struggled and walked around with its hat in its hand. There's been none of the infrastructure out there. That was put in place to create right-wing talk radio. It just hasn't been there. And yet there are people who say, oh, well, we've got to learn to fight the media fight. But if you're not the guy fighting the media fight that they, that they shared martini olives with last night, it don't matter. And it's very galling and it's very frustrating.
Well, I kind of see this a little bit, I think I told you so, Devin, get very annoyed with one of our, major liberal talk show host, because he's been just really, as far as I'm concerned, he's just freaking losing it. I mean, it's like he's losing perspective, you're like, 100 days out, and it's like, I see this, I saw this with Al Gore, man. It's like when Al Gore was in there, when I remember 2000 very clearly, people they have this revisionist, they don't think about Al Gore, they remember it, they say, oh, it'd be great now. But I said, yeah, but these same people were like complaining, if you recall, they were like, oh, he's following the polls. He made a number move that a lot of people on the left were very upset with Al Gore about. And, they don't remember it now all of a sudden. But, yeah, and they were sitting there bashing on him and jumping on him. And then they got on the Clintons, and they were going off on them for, whatever that whole situation he was going through. And we ended up losing because nobody was focusing on George Bush, and he was skating by. And I see the left doing the same crap again. They're on the radio. They're hollering around about FISA and impeachment and all this other stuff, and I know you talk about it too, and I'm not bashing us he's not bringing it up because I think it's important. But I think you got to be careful because see, some of them are now saying, well, you know, when Obama gets in, he's not going to do anything. I have to be honest with you. I don't know what Obama.
I don't know. Yeah, precisely. Exactly.
I'm not going to paint him as Nancy Pelosi. Okay, if you want to bash Nancy Pelosi, go ahead, because I agree. But I think we're getting dangerously close to, like, painting him as, we don't know what he's going to do when he gets in there.
The FISA thing was, for me, Gary, certifiably disturbing, okay? I understand the politics of it. The morality of it was certifiably disturbing. The stuff about a woman's right to choose and when and how abortive procedures should be performed were disturbing to me. But I'm not going to sit here and scream, well, screw him, because I'm going to be consistent, Gary, and I'm going to say what I've been saying, and what I've been saying is John McCain is the problem.
Exactly.
And I'm going to...
When Obama gets in there, I'll be the first, and we all should be the first, to stay on his butt the entire time.
Absolutely. And that's what, you know, that's what I promised, at least from my perspective and from where I sit within the horn. I said back before the 2006 congressional elections, I will be here every night raising hell about issues that really matter. And just because there's a Democratic majority doesn't mean that that Democratic majority now gets a pass and I just get to sit back and watch the ride go down.
Yeah, because once they get in, they're not going to necessarily do the right thing off the bat. Yes, they're going to do, I think they will go in the right direction. But, yeah, there are going to be some issues, like you said, with clean coal technology, nuclear stuff, you'll see. I mean, it's
Healthcare.
I'm sorry?
Healthcare.
Yeah, I'm going to say healthcare. I mean, a lot of them. Some of the stuff is going to self-correct itself anyway, to be honest with you. You're going to see, but healthcare and all this other stuff, because you're going to see a lot of these fees and stuff start running once the Democrats get back in power. That being said, there's still going to be a lot of cleanup and a lot of poo-poo and filth and sewage laying around that White House.
Where presidents are concerned, I have always resisted, Gary, that idea of a honeymoon. Or the first 100 days of the presidency and everybody lays off for the first 100 days? Uh-uh. No. If any Democratic president, we get a Democrat in the White House, we start demanding significant action from day one. Because anybody running for president as a Democrat, well, look at this campaign. You know, we've already had a lot of day one rhetoric. You know, there was Hillary out there on the hustings saying, I'm ready on day one. But you know what? Every president wants a honeymoon. We're not, I'm sorry, you know, there are a lot of working people out there. I've been one of them. There are a lot of working people out there who don't get honeymoons. Okay? Never, no matter how much they love their spouse, never got a honeymoon. And it would have been nice. But you know what? I'm at a place where I don't believe in taking vacations when there is hard, hard, hard work to be done. You know, we've just gotten done with vacation man, the presidency. 8 years of the most vacation taken presidency in the history of the country. I would love to hear a presidential candidate stand up and say, listen, we've got crises on our hands, and I promise you, I'm going to be behind my desk working my fanny off every blessed day, 7 days a week. Until we get back on the right track, and then maybe I'll take a long weekend at Camp David. I want that kind of working president.
And this is my thing. I keep telling people is that you saying that is like you're right, because do you think that when Obama gets in there, that the media or the press or just people are just gonna like let him float? Hell no. He's gonna be scrutinized as he is being now more than anybody. I've never seen a candidate more scrutinizing to the primaries and even up to this place than him.
If he takes a long weekend, the for-profit media will be there, Gary, to tell us all about it. Never mentioning the fact that he'd have to vacation pretty much half of his first term to get even close to what George Bush did. You realize that George Bush had 8 years in office and took 2 years off?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, I want somebody to stand up in solidarity with American working people. This isn't Europe. We don't get 6 weeks paid vacation every year. We don't get health care. We don't get all this stuff. What we get to do is work our butts off. And I want a president who's going to stand beside me and say, you're working that hard. I'm working that hard, too.
Well, you know, people don't realize this. They don't want to talk about it, but I think the 9/11 really happened because when they came, you know, when they first came in, I remember I read Richard Clark's book. He said they basically were on vacation when they first came in, the first days through the transition team.
Yeah.
So they weren't really paying attention.
They came in on vacation. Sure they did.
Exactly.
And, you know, yesterday was anniversary day, negligence day, whatever we're going to call it. But yesterday was the 6th.
Uh-huh.
And that was the 7th anniversary of George Bush ignoring the presidential daily briefing that said Bin Laden determined to strike inside U.S.
Uh-huh.
And they had to deliver it to him on vacation. He was on vacation again.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, remember Condoleezza Rice too? She got a call for the hands of her. So no, she was flying somewhere, probably trying to buy some damn shoes or something.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know.
Yeah, I heard there's a sale on Ferragamos in Hong Kong. I think it's time for yeah. That's exactly what she, right. We've got national security crises at the Ferragamo store. I'll be back.
But you know, one thing back on John McCain right quick, and then I'll get off, the thing is, I don't know if you noticed that a couple of Republicans, last couple of days I noticed this, they've kind of, in a back way, kind of praised Obama. Like, first was the guy in Minnesota. Well, he wasn't praising, but he was just kind of saying that we should model our campaigns more like him. And then it was Condoleezza Rice, of all people, when she came out, I think it was yesterday, and said that the American people would be fine under Obama. You know, and I saw the statement, I thought, you know, I kind of read that, so I'm going to do this thing again. I read through it. And I'm telling you, man, I think the Republicans, you know, are kind of like lining up now, following this stuff, because I think they know that this thing is a mess. And I think, you know,
well, they do know it's a mess. They've just about stolen as much as they can steal for this cycle. They need a Democrat in the White House to put stuff back together again over 8 years, so they can come back through and rob the Treasury again.
Exactly.
You know, somewhere, you know, you can sit there and steal the golden eggs from under the golden goose for only so long before the golden goose has to get to eat a little bit.
The golden goose croaks, and then there's no more eggs coming out.
Well, that's about where we are. If they don't get out of the way pretty soon, the goose that lays the golden eggs is coughing up blood out in the backyard right now. And the Republicans know they got to get out of the way deep in their heart of hearts. They'd never say it publicly, but they know that somebody's got to refill the coffers so they can come steal it again.
Yeah. But what some of these other people been pushing? Well, it'd be better that McCain wins. Some of the liberal people pushing that. Because they don't want Obama to inherit this mess and all that kind of stuff. And what I was trying to tell them is that, look, if he does not win, we're going to lose a generation of young people. We can't afford to take that chance. We'll just have to fix the mess they made. And I said, the one thing that's good about this mess they're leaving is that there's one thing always good about something I always learned about just kind of like, you know, chaos theory or something I remember I read years ago, is that the one good thing about when somebody leaves a total mess is that you get to come back and put it back the way you want to. You know what I mean?
Sure I do. And listen, I know you don't just discount ideas, but the fact there is some truth, there's an element of truth within the assertion that, you know, if we had a Democratic Congress and if McCain was president, blah, blah, blah. But there's too many variables in that equation. You would have to have an absolute veto-proof majority of Democrats in both houses. And then maybe Congress would begin to feel its oats and start jamming stuff down McCain's throat, whether he liked it or not. But no matter how, I don't see it happening, Gary. I mean, I think there will be gains in both houses, but I don't think there is a lead pipe cinch of a veto-proof, filibuster-proof majority in the United States Senate. It's just not there yet. And barring that, even if you've got a majority, barring that, especially the filibuster-proof Senate, you're not going to get anything done. And there is work that has to be done in this country. And there is some actual leading that has to be done. And John McCain, you know, old 894 is not the guy to do that leading.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We can't really afford to put this guy in. I don't care what these people are, they're putting all this kind of crazy theory. I'd rather take my chance with the Democratic president, particularly somebody like Obama, younger person, you know, a once-in-a-lifetime type candidate, and giving him the power with both of those, the Congress and the Senate, we can get, you know, get both houses. And we look at the mess and exposure that I think Bush and them are going to be exposed with. Because I think one good tactical move that Obama could do, if he got in, he could then blanket himself by exposing everything that George Bush and them did and continue to blame it on them for 2 years. I think if you try to get in there and just fix it and let them run off, they're going to blame everything on you. So to me, my strategy would be once I got in there, I would start immediately investigation and start explaining to the people, you know, to my way, the best way, what they've done to this country. And that way you can bury them. To me, that would be the better strategy.
You get a real good attorney general and you say, sick 'em. And you let the attorney general take the case before a grand jury and do what needs to be done. And
that is why you just said the magic word, attorney general. And that is why it was being leaked that he was thinking about, you know, putting John Edwards in that position at one time. So now we got all these little baby stories coming out.
Oh, mercy. I know.
So you know John Edwards would love nothing more than to go after him.
Oh, yes, he would. You know, I'd love to, for that matter, I'd love to turn, young man, turn John Edwards loose on the Supreme Court of the United States. Can you imagine us? Here's a fun one. How about a Supreme Court that has John Edwards and Hillary Clinton on it?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I can't think about it.
Somebody that could finally look Tony Scalia squarely in the eye and go, boop, and just poke him in the eye.
You got me drooling now, man.
Yeah, wouldn't that be cool?
I know one thing.
Stranger things have happened.
If McCain is elected, that's you'll never see that dream.
Oh no! If McCain's elected, the Supreme Court will mandate that little brown shirts be passed out to all American children. Yeah, because they're not activists or anything, unless it's something they really want. Hey Gary, I gotta run along, brother. But this has been a great conversation.
All right.
And thanks again for chipping in. We do appreciate it.
All right.
Take care. Bye now. Buddy Gary calling from Maryland. Oh, I lost you again. Well, there's been some phone tag going on tonight. I had two or three lines lit up behind Gary, and then everybody just sort of bailed out. No? Okay. So, we're about 27 minutes away from the end of the program this evening. And some stuff, the 200, what Gary mentioned during our conversation, you know, we've gotten to the point where we go, oh, well, it's another 200-point loss day on Wall Street. But that's okay because guess what? U.S. light crude for September delivery rose $1.44 today per barrel to settle at $120.02. The previous session, the previous day, it had ended at a three-month low. Well, that's all over with now. It'll start climbing again. Why not? And why shouldn't it start climbing? There's lots of terrifying stuff out there. This report that says that George Bush has given an amber light, whatever that means, to Israel to attack Iran. Oh, that's reassuring. That ought to be good for a $4 or $5 a barrel jump in oil prices over the next 2 or 3 days. By the time the market, after tomorrow, when the market opens on Monday, the oil traders ought to be absolutely quivering with anticipation, don't you think? Yeah. Let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, it's Preston.
Hey, Preston, what's up?
Not a lot. We finally ended our string of 90 degree or hotter days here in Denver. We did set a new record, and 23 straight days. And so we got some nice rain last night. It was wonderful. And today it was just, I think the high was about 80 or so.
Oh, that, You know, the difference between 80 and 90 is only 10 degrees Fahrenheit, but it's two separate worlds, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And what else? We're setting new records, you know, for air conditioning use. And someone called into a radio station here and talked about how in 1978 his office had solar-powered air conditioning. And apparently he worked for the Renewable Energy Laboratory, which is located here in Golden, Colorado. And it's the leading incubator for innovation in solar and all sorts of innovative technologies. And, you know, I'm really kind of surrounded by this stuff. I mean, I've got this, it's a government renewable energy lab in Golden up at Snowmass, Colorado. We've got a couple of the leading, global leading thinkers on renewable energy, Hunter and Amory Lovins, who had the Rocky Mountain Institute.
I'm familiar with those names, yes.
Okay. Helped to pioneer the field of natural capitalism. Bill Clinton actually wrote a wonderful blurb on the back of their book. And I think that's why the right wing hates Clinton so much, for stuff like that. And we're just not putting the stuff. It's so frustrating how this reality is just not put in the front of people's minds. Instead, I tune into progressive talk again today, and bashing the Clintons was the topic yet again.
Why? What's the...
Well, this time, Bill Clinton was asked a question from some reporter, something like, do you think Barack Obama is qualified? His answer, which I thought was perfectly reasonable and accurate, was something to the effect, well, the Constitution decides who's qualified, and I think he's going to win, and I think he should win. I agree. That was being translated by other people on progressive talk.
Oh, I can already hear it, Preston. Well, why didn't he just say yes? Oh, obviously the Clintons are still bitter.
There you go. There you go.
There's no real talent involved in that, I got to tell you. I mean, I'm tired of it. I'm sick of it.
You know, it's lack of talent, and it's also so counterproductive. And it's somebody, and I wonder how, I mean, this is Ed Schultz. I'm going to say his name, who I respect a lot and I like a lot and who I've learned a lot from. I promote his book on Amazon. I've purchased many copies of it. And my dad really likes his show. And my dad's been listening to Limbaugh for a long time, but he likes Ed.
Well, okay. Your dad is the guy that, that Schultz was blown up, and I don't mean negatively, but was promoted to reach. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, but between you and me, Preston, and everybody listening, if you put a blindfold on me and just start, God, like that makes any sense, but just play, clips of, non-ideological clips of Ed Schultz and Rush Limbaugh, like, you know, sort of the Pepsi Coke taste test.
Yeah.
I can't tell the difference. And there's a reason for that. And I'm not, you know, I'm not a big Ed Schultz fan, for some reasons, that don't bear going into here. Every now and then, they carry him oddly enough in Huntington, West Virginia. So sometimes when I'm down that way, I get to hear him a little bit. He is certainly better than nothing.
Yeah.
But there are things that he does that just drive me nuts.
Yeah, yeah, and it's odd too because you know earlier in the show he did speak with Mark Udall. Well, you know, a week ago or so, I heard you make a comment about criticism and us making space for that for people that we may like a lot. I mean, I think it's actually a sign of respect. So often when we find a criticism, we've become dismissive. I'm seeing that directed towards Amy Goodman and Democracy Now. She's angered a lot of people who passionately believe in the 9/11 was an inside job theory. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong or anything.
Oh, please don't open that door.
Okay. Well, that's been covered. And some people, because of that criticism they have of her, they trash the whole show.
Right.
And I'm trying to be careful not to do that with Ed. In fact, you know, I've called him a couple times, and he's let me speak, and he's got a great substitute, Norman Goldman, who I think is very good. And, you know, his callers, you know, that part of the show is very good. So just the constructive criticism, and I'm concerned about where these particular sorts of arguments are coming from. You know, he's always referring to the news cycle. Who is creating the news cycle? What is news? What is a hot topic? And, you know, some of these people he has on, like David Schuster and Jack Tapper, they're from MSNBC and...
ABC and, yeah.
Yeah, and I think there's...
Let me, if I may break in for just a moment, Preston,
sure,
let me go where I think you're going, or let me go where you're going takes me, better put.
Okay.
There's this thing called access, all right? And this is not sour grapes. This is not me complaining about my lot in life. Honest to God, it's not, Preston. I could no sooner get David Schuster or Jake Tapper on my program than I could leap over the moon, all right, because I'm not a big enough fish, all right? I can't there are more people that I can't get on this program than I can.
Well,
and let me finish by saying that I'm comfortable with that, Preston,
yeah.
Because I've said before that, you know, I like to have news-making politicians on. I like to have news-making authors on and things like that from time to time. And I enjoy the conversations, and I think we generally do a pretty good job with them. But with that access, Preston, comes a degree of self-censorship and comes a degree of, even if you think you're guarding the gate perfectly well, there's a hail fellow well-met member of the clubness to it. Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah.
And a result of that is that you begin to self-censor.
Yeah.
Before it's so internalized that before it ever gets to the point of you saying, well, you know, I'm not going to say that about him or he won't be on the show, it doesn't even reach that level of intellectual process.
Right.
It's just, you know, I've had lunch with this guy. We've sat down to a big bowl of lobster Thermidor together. How can I ever look him in the eye if I say that he's a big old douchebag for what he did today?
Right. And, you know, and I don't want to condemn or even judge Ed for doing that. I mean, maybe to a degree, but then I have to look at myself and recognize that I do that as well. I self-censor. You know, we do it at our job so often.
Sure.
I mean, so many times in our interactions with bosses and stuff, you know. And it's, you know, strategies. You know, Ed might give something up to be able to get on the show, and he does a great job of debating, I think. And you know, it's just something I notice, and it's when it comes to bashing Clinton again, and then the callers will get into the energy of it, and they'll start calling in, and they don't stop at bashing Hillary and Bill Clinton, they start bashing their supporters. So again, if you're an Obama fan, you've got to be concerned about this. You know, insulting people that you need to ally with is not helpful.
It's like that joking line I use with people sometimes on the, you know, show. Somebody will say something facetious, and I'll say, "You're not helping again." Yeah, you know, or stop helping, because first of all, because there was so much of it during the presidency of Bill Clinton, Clinton bashing is easy. Okay, it's, in my opinion, although, you know, I've hammered on Hillary for issues. I have criticized issues related to Bill Clinton. I'm not going to sit here and say that they're bad people. I don't know if they're bad people. I don't think they'd sit down and break bread with a peon like me.
Yeah.
Okay? How am I ever going to know? But I'm going to take Rush Limbaugh for gospel on it? I don't think so. I think they put their pants on one leg at a time just like I do.
Right. I read Z Magazine, and they all along have had much harsher, more serious criticisms of the Clinton and more accurately the Clinton administration. than Rush Limbaugh could offer, which is ironic. He's supposed to be the guy who's really going after him, but it's the left wing, you know, the radical analysis that's really sharp. You know, meanwhile, Rush had his audience focused on the blue dress, a stain on a blue dress.
But that's because that's what his audience is capable of comprehending, Preston. I'm, you know, please understand that it really is.
I have more faith in them if they were really offered. I mean, he's hitting a lot of people that don't have a lot of options. It's not always the case. There's a willful ignorance going on, but he's hitting that flyover country, and there's no community radio stations out there.
Please bear in mind, Preston, that where Schultz is concerned, Clinton hammering is great for that flyover country audience of his.
True.
Because it establishes a certain level of credibility for him with them vis-a-vis their so-called conservative tendencies. Well, you know, he calls himself a liberal, but he hates the Clintons. Maybe I ought to pay attention.
That's true. I just wish, you know, the people advising him would say, you know, to enhance his credibility even further, he'd say some decent things about these people every now and again and what that administration accomplished. There were some things. I mean, they did get the weapons budget down below $300 billion. And, you know, across the country, you know, all sorts of civic rights activists and feminist groups and environmental groups, they'll vouch for them. They'll have their criticisms, and they'll vouch for them.
Sure they will. And I think, you know, look at issues that are really near and dear to the right wing, okay? All the little fetuses, okay? Across the board, abortion rates went dramatically down in the United States during the 8 years that Bill Clinton was president.
Yep.
And they started back up, not in the upper class. Those numbers stay about the same. But in the lower classes, the rates started back up under George W. Bush. Well, that tells me that Bill Clinton was doing something right, and not only was he doing something right, he was doing something that actually spoke, if these people are sincere about it, spoke to core issues of so-called values voters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, one other story along this line. I know you've got to wrap up here pretty soon, but something similar has been happening regarding Nancy Pelosi. And again,
okay, you and me may have to agree to disagree on Nancy because I got a real problem with her, but go ahead.
And I respect that. I respect your criticisms. You know, the impeachment is off the table, didn't like. But again, I got to see her on C-SPAN, actually. And, you know, that same day that the Republicans were doing that political theater and sitting in until they got a vote on drilling, up or down vote, that same day she held a press conference during which she and activists and consumer rights people and all sorts of concerned citizens talked about this law they got passed regarding getting the lead out of products and getting that phthalate stuff out of toys and making cribs safer for children. Important stuff having to do with family values.
Absolutely.
The word, again, it's that, what's the news cycle? Why wasn't this being spoken about?
Exactly. And that's something I try to stay away from. Some nights I criticize myself on the air because I find myself talking about what I know that everybody else has been talking about all day. And I really don't like doing that. I want this show to be something different from that. But where Nancy Pelosi is concerned, it is not, and this is really unfair, okay, Preston? It's really unfair. It's not what she's done. It is maybe not so much what she hasn't done. It's the attitude of timidity that she has brought to the position that we really didn't need. And it's failures of stuff that seem like fairly simple thought processes. The fact that, you know, recognizing that the House of Representatives controls the purse strings. When George Bush vetoed the Iraq funding bill,
okay,
all she had to do was say, well, okay, George, you vetoed it. We can't override the veto. I guess now you have to explain why you don't have any more money for your war. Because we sent you one. But instead of that, she turned around and went back and had her people craft a bill that gave George Bush everything he wanted and a little bit more for the occupations of Iraq and Afghanistan.
Yep.
And it's that kind of stuff that drives me nuts. And at the end of the day, it's the money that's playing such a role, and you and I both know it.
Yeah.
It's the fact that John Conyers can't get a vote on what was it, H.R. 676, the Medicare for All Act.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I think her timidity, though, is to some degree a reflection of timidity among the population. I mean,
oh, absolutely.
I hear very few voices dissenting, and there are plenty of opportunities in, you know, those weekly newspapers we've got all across the country. They're very open letters to editor sections. Some of the mainstream stuff, same way. There are all sorts of talk radio stations, right and left, to advocate for this stuff on. You know, no one's talking. No one's saying, you know, Pelosi and others are trying to accomplish this. And here's something worthwhile that we can get behind instead of always pointing to the things that we don't like. And, you know, it's kind of a habit of mind almost that we've gotten into. And that's something that Barack has spoken about, habits of mind that kind of have us swirling around in this criticism and negativity all the time. And the Buddhist Malcolm X actually also spoke about that. So, when I see her getting attacked by Free Republic, they got mobilized against her. It was vicious. Free Republic and that host Mark Levin, they...
Mark Levin? Yeah, oh, he's...
Is it Levin? Okay.
Yeah, he's Levin. Our guy's Levin. He's Levin.
Okay.
And he is the most vicious kind of hate monger. And he does mobilize people, and that's the thing. Those people mobilize.
Yep, there you go.
Michael Savage refers to patriots like Paul Revere and me.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mm-hmm. And people sit there and go, yeah, patriots like Michael Savage and Paul Revere. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if he says go do something, they go do it.
And they're the Minutemen and all that stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, one of the things they did.
We can't, on the other hand, liberal radio can't hardly organize a bake sale or a car wash.
I know. It's.
I mean, I talk about, and you're one of the people who contributes to this network, Preston, and we do sincerely appreciate it. I talk about the fact that we have to come to people like you to keep the lights on here.
Yeah.
And it's incredibly frustrating.
Yep.
But it's not just us. If I understand correctly, it's always Nova M's out there, and they've got their Founders Club. And they're raising money directly from their listeners. Air America's got something similar. I guess maybe Stephanie Miller and Ed Schultz don't have to because they are distributed by, aren't they distributed? Well, isn't Ed distributed by Premier? I don't know about Stephanie.
I'm not sure. I know.
But one of the big outfits that also clears a whole bunch of right-wing radio also clears Ed Schultz. And that's straight up contractual obligation. You know, you pay the money, I turn on the microphone kind of stuff, and it's more traditional business model.
I know he had a change of ownership soon, and that's another pressure on him, you know. Who knows what they want Schuster on X number of times a month or whatever. And again, I have a lot of respect for Ed. I'm actually going to try to call him tomorrow during his recession buster session, which I think is a great idea. You know, I get small business people to call in, talk about their product and, you know, what they sell and give their website.
That's a beautiful model.
But really quickly, on the Pelosi attack, one of the things they did was she just had a book come out. You know, that's another thing that could have been discussed. And she has a lot of interesting things to say within the book. You know, a lot of, you know, some people would dismiss them as platitudes, but basically a book of, you know, empowering women. And I think it's called like Know Your Strength.
Yes.
Well, those Free Republican freaks came down on that book on Amazon and started reviewing it. And this is a tactic I think progressives need to do. Get on Amazon, do customer reviews.
Yes, indeed.
They just bombarded her book with these sexist, gross, vicious attacks. And you know, it's kind of depressing. It was angering in many ways, but kind of depressing.
But they're very, very good at it. You know, I remember when I set up my own little message board at my website, headonradio.com. I was immediately beset by right-wingers who tried to shut it down.
Yep.
And had it not been for a few dedicated souls who stood in there and punched back, they would have ruled the roost.
Yeah. See, people do have power. If this didn't concern the right-wing elite establishment, authoritarian folk, this wouldn't be happening. But they see these communities, large and small, where people can dialogue, share ideas, share resources. They are in on that all the time. And again, they're in on our conversations. They're in on our message boards. I really think we need to review what the church committee found when they looked into intelligence agencies and their involvement in our media.
Yeah.
Operation Mockingbird.
Well, Lord, you remember, and we do have to go, but you remember the old Gong Show?
The Gong Show, yeah.
Chuck Barris, who had been a game show mogul and stuff, the guy came out a few years later and said, listen, I am and have been for years a CIA operative.
Okay.
And everybody said, that's that crazy Chuck Barris. But we live in a sort of Spiegelmensch world where upside down is straight up, and you don't know.
Yeah, and maybe the Gong Show, you know, that sort of media. Again, I think it's very conscious what's going on here. Oftentimes it's the sort of media where it's not explicitly political misinformation, but what it is the sort of thing that kind of inculcates disengagement or mockery of people. You know, oh, look what they want. Look how ridiculous they are. There's a book actually called Democracy Incorporated that just came out about how we've got this kind of inverse form of totalitarianism going on where some segments of the people aren't being mobilized so much towards some fascist cause, but rather being demobilized, disengaged from politics so that into that vacuum.
Yeah, shoved down into the lazy boy.
Power. Yep.
Exactly. And I think that is a very, very profound topic that probably bears going into at greater length. Preston, I really appreciate all these topics you've brought in. And perhaps at greater length, perhaps tomorrow evening, we can dig into some of them at greater depth because they deserve more depth. They truly do.
Well, if the creek doesn't rise, I'll give you a call.
All right. I got a feeling the creek ain't going to rise. You had a little rain. You didn't have a deluge. Don't get too full of yourself. Take care, Preston.
Good night, Bob.
Bye. Wow. Serious topics. And philosophical stuff. And that's why I keep telling you guys that, you know, you have as much control over the topicality of this program as anyone else. I will not set myself up as some sort of idol or some sort of arbiter of what we shall discuss. Because you've got your fingers on the pulse, and you know what matters, and you know when you're being manipulated, and you know how to resist it. And that's what makes this such a precious undertaking for me. Thank you to all of you who help keep the Head On Radio Network going, who help continue to keep from focusing on the inane and the vapid and the vacuous. Thank you to our very good friends at Coal River Mountain Watch, at crmw.net, the bravest, hardest working people I know. Get on board with them by going to that website, crmw.net, and by going to coalriverwind.org and signing the petition that may help save one of the last great mountains in southern West Virginia and point a way forward in the future to renewable, sustainable, non-oil-based, non-coal-based energy that can literally start saving this nation almost overnight. And always, 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 RMR, Gina, it's all for you.